Okay, well, here we are, 20 on 20. I think that is the appropriate song, Diluted. And Trish is not there yet. And let me hear you, Trish.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's a good, strong voice. I tell you, you know, well, I'm going to just get the panel in here, and I'm not going to rant. I want them to rant.
We're not going to rant. We're not going to rave.
Beloved panel, brothers and sisters, hello.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, Charles.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. In the
Charles.
Name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome.
Amen.
Are you still in lockdown?
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, Violet. Hello. Hello, sister.
Yeah.
Hello, John, brother.
Yeah, great blessings from the Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Shalom,
shalom. Very nice how Violet and John are feeding so many people that are upset and ostracized.
When the third world goes down, when the first world goes down, the third world starves.
Yeah, so you guys have been feeding many, many people. We are so appreciative. That's so awesome.
So let's get the link out right away. You guys, we have to intervene here because people are dying in Pakistan of starvation because of what's happened here, okay? So we have a kind of a link. I mean, we have some responsibility here, even though I didn't vote for the pandemic. I'm not Bill Gates, you know, but they did it, and we're here. So,
yeah,
guys, if you want to really help people, literally save them from death today, you go to, is it the Little Treasure Orphanage or Little Treasure Orphanage?
Little Treasure Orphanage.
Okay, little-treasure-orphanage.com. Little-treasure-orphanage, O-R-P-H-A-N-A-G-E, orphanage. Dot com. Is that it? Can you go to that site and check that out, Trish? Please.
Violet?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Tell us the exact name of the site where we can donate to help you feed the people.
Yeah, thank you, sister. We are already, we appreciate your efforts and your prayers.
Thank you so much.
Without your prayers and love and efforts, we are unable to do all these things. Actually, we are sharing the love of Christ practically.
That's wonderful.
Literally.
Me and Violet and our team, sometimes we cry, practically we weep, we cry. With tears we are praying on that place when we see the people who have no clothes,
No shoes, no clothes.
That's what we're telling them. Look, if you don't donate anything, a couple dollars, $5, $3, whatever. But you're literally this is a third
saving
world,
people from
it's a third world intervention.
Okay, thank you, Jacob. Jacob has just posted little-treasure-orphanage.com.
Little-treasure-orphanage.com.
Thank you, Jacob.
It turned into a orphanage taking care of children, and there was a big responsibility that they have there, especially Christian based, which is, there's a lot of hostility. But then because of the circumstances of the lockdown, it's turned into a humanitarian relief effort of saving the starving from starving to death.
Yeah, and Muslims,
feeding the,
Christians,
feeding
everybody.
Muslims, Christians, feeding the multitudes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is... you want to get your Christ on? Here it is.
Yeah.
And I know there was a reason when we all hooked up together. I think it may be prophetic in that with one day this famine would come to our friends in Pakistan because of something that happened here.
I'm so sick of this pandemic.
Do you think they understand? Do you think they understand that what has happened here? Has affected the third world. Do you think they understand that?
Well, I know Alex Jones and all the team there at InfoWars has been instructing people about this.
But do people understand that not everyone listens to that? Do people understand? That's my question.
Well, I was very proud of the president yesterday. Go ahead, Govinda.
There was a news article that came out maybe 4 or 5 days ago, where the executive director of the World Food Program had said that they're anticipating 300,000 people every day dying for the next 3 months because of the knock-on effects of the coronavirus. So that's 300,000 people that they're anticipating are going to starve to death
because of them
every day
because they caused
this whole thing.
Because they caused it.
So in the situation that right now is there, you know, around the world, the thing that people didn't understand, and this is something that's important for people to grasp, you have a public health crisis or manufactured crisis or whatever it may be, but that's one piece, right? That's one piece. But then there's other important pieces that go along with that. There's the economic implications because, you know, economies are what, you know, when our economies are working, people have opportunities, they have chances, they things that they could do. And there's resources created and people live off of and their lives are benefited by the resources that are created. And if that goes away, then a lot of other things go away when the economy happens. So there's people that have had that as well as a priority. There's another one, too, that is the rule of law, human rights, and very important core principles to just our existence on this planet. And so what's happened is that there's been a set of people that they've been pushed into just looking and thinking about only the public health issue and not understanding the interplay between these other areas, and that you can focus on all of these things, and you should be focusing on all of these things because the knock-on effects are massive. So that's the thing. So, like, you know, people have been focusing so much on the virus that they've not realized that when you've got, you know, masses of the world living on less than $2 a day, and you break the supply chains and you break the economies, what happens to those people? You know, those people that were in a vulnerable situation prior to this,
yeah,
that were already on the edge prior to this. You know, at the same time, too, you know, what happens when people give up, you know, hard-fought civil liberties and hard-fought just basic human rights for a semblance of some security which doesn't even exist. And they're giving these things up, and then they turn around, and they're no safer, they're no healthier, in fact, they're worse, and they don't have their rights after the close of it. So this is, I think, a time where people are starting to assess a little bit.
Incredible stupidity beyond, but the stupidity level of people, especially in America, is so far beyond anything that I even could imagine. I couldn't even imagine it, that people being as dumb as they are here, and in Europe, and in other places where it's locked down. And that they haven't called the bluff, and they don't know that they have more numbers. You know, if people hate being lied to here, fine. If they lied to you, then you stand up against it. You don't get lied to and then say, okay, where do I comply? That is totally un-American, totally inhuman, actually. And
it's just ludicrous, the measures people have gone to.
People don't
to
think,
try to comply. To
they don't think the starvation in the third world has anything to do with us. It has to do with a guy that's sitting there, not getting up and going to work or trying to go to work or doing something, but sitting there because he's been told to. And the direct link to the starvation is there. I don't care. You can wish it away, go into denial, be deluded all your life, but there is a link there. You know, you're supposed to get up and do something. If the oppressor is oppressing you, you pray, you ask for the Lord's leading, and you don't sit there as sheep to the slaughter. You don't do that just for some arrogant asshole governor who's trying to, become vice president or something. You don't sit there and accommodate that
Well, I'm very
person.
Pleased with the way
you don't do it.
The Americans are now standing up to this tyranny opening their doors to their businesses.
Out. Check this out.
Against jail sentences, everything else.
We are in Houston, you know, working on our project and, you know, trying to contribute something to society. All right. We have bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's unbelievable. We ate in a restaurant. Had to sit outside, but there are four of us, and we sat down, and we ate, had a nice conversation, nice music mix on the thing. The lady there that was the waitress, she was explaining to us how they were actually, you know, a little more busy when there was just takeout, because they're a good home-cooked food type of place. Under some big oak trees, you know. It's very hot here, but it was nice under the oak trees. Anyway, because we went to lunch because we feel it's our duty to go to lunch. It's our duty now. It's more than just a going to lunch. It's a moral obligation that we go to lunch.
To support businesses.
And to support life. To just live. You know, I mean, it was like a little optional. We'd say, oh, I don't really need to go to radio. I don't really. You know, I could just take an hour off and get on my phone and call people and whatnot. We could have done that when it was time for a break. But we didn't. We decided to do that because it is a moral obligation to humanity. Not just to our selfish selves, our frightened little selves cowering in the corner of our, you know, comfy apartment. It's hard for me to cower in my little comfy place when I know that if I don't do these basic things, that more and more people will starve to death.
Owen was bringing up a good point yesterday. He said that, it, you know, most of us know that it's a ruse, and it's not what they're portraying it on the mainstream media. However, if 1% doesn't wake up and
it's just 1%.
keep playing the game and going along with the ruse, then we're all going to suffer.
The governor of New Mexico doesn't really believe that she's killed, you know, 100 million people. But she has, because we don't do anything in New Mexico. We don't do anything. We sit there and let this little bitch tell us what to do all day long. Now, I know this is a, you know, spiritual show. We're not supposed to...
It's a family show.
It's a family show. I understand that. I'm sorry. Today, I'm, you know, when I see Texas rocking and rolling, and I see these people out in their cars, you know, and when we see each other out there now, it's a lot different. You see another human being, it's like, hey, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I know? And most of these people, they'll tell you, yeah, that... they're locking us down for no reason.
It's like the mechanic that stopped by the rig when we were trying to get something fixed. And
no mask.
We had already got something fixed.
Mask, though. Sorry, no mask.
I go running up to him in my bathrobe. Hi, hey, we need our water heater fixed. And they're like, we're going to another job, and the girl's got her mask on, the guy doesn't. And she pulls her mask off once she sees me. And the guy's like fist bumping me. And, you know, we're not afraid to touch each other, okay?
No, I did do an elbow bump yesterday with Paul because I...
Oh, really?
He goes, oh, you're going to do that, huh? Because he was ready to shake my hand. And I'm like, look how I've been trained. Look what they've done to me.
I won't wear a mask. I just won't do it. That way, that's why I didn't go to the studio yesterday, because they're requiring a mask.
Well, here's the deal with him. He wants us to have a mask in the studio because his wife has an autoimmune condition.
So do
he's
I.
afraid that if she gets it, she'll die.
And his figures are all off, though. He's saying it's a 5%. I go, I'm not, dude. It's 0.1% death rate. Hello.
Yeah, I know.
And he's thinking it's 5%, and it's a 30% if his wife gets it.
If, like, if she gets it, it's like half.
I'll just stay out of the studio.
50%. Yeah, well, it's okay. I mean. But when we all had lunch together, we know nobody had a mask. It was fun.
So doesn't he realize how hypocritical he's
being? I was
being?
Telling them, you know, I was calling the songs. The songs were like from the 60s, a lot of them. I said, this is so-and-so, 1966. And so I think they were kind of amazed. And he goes, well, I was around too. But, I mean, they back then, they. I'm sorry, in 1966, they weren't around. I'm 20.
I was 10 years old.
I'm old compared to them.
You know, I think this is a good chance for Pat to share his experience, because Pat's had an experience between the last 20 on 20 and this one.
Oh, yeah.
Pat, you wanna chime in on this, man?
Yeah. And as Vesta speaking about, like, you know, different places that are open, my question here is, you know, where is the church? Because a lot of
they're closed.
They took away the ability to meet on Sunday, but, you know, we can go out and go do a lineup at Costco or a grocery store or
liquor store.
You know, a liquor store. I mean, either way, my question is, where is the church? Because that's where the message is passed on. At the end of the day, one of my biggest things, you know,
there's going to be a lot of lawsuits.
One thing that's great is that seeds are being planted. I noticed two of us were believers, you know, yesterday, and two of us weren't. But I can tell you right now, seeds are planted. I can already feel it.
That's what I'm noticing in Pakistan,
people
too.
People are much more willing to hear the gospel now than ever before.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But even by hearing the gospel, where are the pastors? Like, some of them should have been, a lot of them should have been already had tickets for contravention, even arrested.
Well, you already know the answer, Patrick. You know the answer already.
Yeah, but just to get in, I had an experience. I'm myself, you know, tested positive for COVID-19.
He got it.
Yeah, I got it. And, you know, I always tell people, like, it's not like this thing is not real. No, it is real. There is something.
Yeah, of course it's real.
I did have some symptoms. I was, you know, in the hospital for 5 days. You know, and obviously here in Canada, we, you know, I got some antibiotics, oxygen, you know, like in the hospital, you know, and yeah, like, but, you know, some of the things that I learned along the way, especially during my time in the hospital, was, you know, your faith, your walk with Christ. Like, who do you trust in times like that?
Yeah.
Who do you really lean on, right? Who do you lean on? That's really important. And I know that in multiple shows that, you know, you've done and I've listened to, when they have speakers and they really talk about in time of trial and tribulation, who do you lean on? So that's the number one thing to, you know, for people to understand it. And yes, fear may come, but when fear comes, then you speak the word. Then you speak the word of the Lord, and you know what? He brings you back to that place of strength, that place of power. You know, I've learned a lot from having it, because also the biggest thing, like, you know, some people say, "Well, I'm a symptom of this." You know, for me, I learned, because in conjunction of testing positive, you know, I had pneumonia, right? And you start to understand, like, how people can be taken over by this, because you get, like, another illness and like pneumonia with it, and it's like, and then it's COVID, and then it really affects you. Like, you know, it used to be my, you know, the biggest thing that happened to me was my breathing. Now my breathing was, you know, very, you know, it was fairly, it was kind of midway, mid strong, but, you know, my saturation was under the regular limits, right? And they did a really good job here, obviously in Canada, to, and the medical system to take care of me and everything else, like that, antibiotics. But, you know, at the end of the day, people got to understand the importance of boosting their immune system, having a strong immune system, having a strong faith, you know, and asking the Lord to lead them on what they need to do. Because it is important. And you know what? I know people were praying for me, and I felt it, because it was a quick recovery. You know, within 5 days, I was back in, you know, doing my thing. And, you know, even a couple of days ago, I went and did some wind, right? So I was able to run. But because you hear a lot of people that go.
Well, I'm so glad that you recovered, Patrick.
I'm sorry that
I'm glad that you were able to get the hydroxychloroquine.
I'm sorry they denied you hydroxychloroquine after Trump endorsed it. They banned it worldwide.
You know what? They obviously, the treatment that they do in Canada, they do other things. But I got to say this. In Canada, the people that, and, you know, my heart goes for the families and everything else, but people that succumbed it from what's happening, it was 80% of elderly people. 82% of people that died were elderly people into retirement homes. So that's where we think we needed to focus a lot on. You know, and you know, you talk about different treatments. Well, like, what are there different treatments out there, you know, that actually works?
Yeah.
And also, you got to look at internationally. What did they do internationally for people to get better? What would be? And even the thing, the special part, immune boost, treatment, right? You know, at the end of the day, I can say to all the listeners that no matter what, no matter what situation you're in, and it's great because we're doing 20 for 20 and praying for that, but do not fear.
Do not fear.
Do not fear.
Perfect.
That's all the enemy.
That's the big issue.
And fear, they make you do, fear makes you do crazy things that you will never do. And I think that's what happened a lot of it.
Nothing to fear but fear itself.
You know, COVID-19, it is there. But how did COVID-19 took away?
I had a much worse flu than COVID in Alaska. I mean, this was years ago now, but I mean, I recount it. And it was so bad that it killed 50% of the people that got it. 50%. That's no exaggeration.
Yeah.
It killed everyone that went to the hospital, died. And the people that tried to tough it out outside the hospital lived. I'm sorry, that's the rate. The hospital here is 100% death. So basically, the bottom line is, and when I got right close to death, and Trish wasn't there in the room, I was there, what did I do? The only thing I could do, I reached into that drawer in the hotel room, and there was a Gideon's Bible. I opened it up, I can't remember the exact scripture,
Hallelujah.
2 Thessalonians, but that was the beginning. I felt the Lord move. He showed me a couple scriptures. I took them to heart, I prayed, and I felt the turn. Now, it took me another 6 weeks to recover. So, that's right, 6 weeks, everyday fever, 105, insane, ridiculous, go to the hospital stuff. But I didn't panic, and I didn't buckle to fear. I didn't go to the hospital, because everyone that, you know, I found out later that a lot of people got it. It was basically, I believe it was from a bio attack, but I can't prove that.
Well, there was,
Public
information at the time. I think that was 2013, 17. What was it?
13.
13.
And that there was a
was public announcement that it was a bioweapon
that was released around the Montgomery area of Houston. We were in, of course, Albuquerque. I picked it up at the airport. Anyway, a lot. It was kind of regionalized to the south, to Florida and to like Arizona, New Mexico. I mean, that was the area. It was contained to that area. Nobody put out a pandemic notice. Nobody called the alarm. Here's the other thing. None of us were contagious, though we had pneumonia, total pneumonia. None of us were contagious.
Yeah.
And none of us were contagious to anybody. And I was around Trish's mother, an elderly woman, you know, and I said, I'm not, you know, we're not contagious. We know that. No, Trish didn't get it. The mother didn't get it. Nobody got it around me. So I knew that something was up. Something was fishy here.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go to the hospital.
Recently, a listener sent me a screenshot that she had taken at the time of the announcement on the national awareness.
My cure was 100% God, 0% man.
Exactly.
So there you go.
And that's what I'm talking about. People need to understand that. At the end, we can prepare everything that you want, food, however you want to prepare yourself. But you need God. You need the trust.
I felt the turn. Did you feel the turn, Patrick? Did you feel
the turn
when yeah, when you're on the way back? Yeah. It's awesome.
I knew I was like, no man, you're gonna be totally fine. You're gonna come back 100%, but that just has you reach out to the Gideon Bible, get down on your knees.
I did.
Go back to who you are, and you have people were praying for me. I could,
we were praying for you, Patrick.
We prayed hard for you.
Yeah, we were. I was so confident that you were going to be back.
We were
going to be fine, and you'd be here on 20 on 20, and here you are.
We knew you'd be here with your story about your near death experience.
You know what? And that's what it takes. It takes all of us to come and pray together. Because once we come together and pray, we're very strong. You know, the word is about us and the Lord being one. We are one.
You know, I'm going to ask those guys if they want to hold hands. Grown men, hold hands and pray around the table. We go again today. I'm just going to reel them in.
Cool.
Even I don't care what they believe.
You've got Larry.
Everybody needs the Lord. I mean, you know, everybody. And then that woman was witnessing, the waitress. This was a complete divine encounter. And those guys, the two of them, now I know one of them, you know, they're both trying to, you know, they do a lot of movies and a lot of records. They, you know, do recordings and things and music for movies. And the one guy is like an award-winning composer as well. So they're all real creative and real successful and real, you know, whatever. And you can tell they kind of like some of the cultural icons out there. You know, we talked movies, we talked about music. But basically, you know, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's just window dressing. You know, who cares what so-and-so recorded or who cares about any of it? Time is passing. We don't have that much time.
We need to redeem the time. One good thing about the pandemic is that Mr. Gates has been completely thoroughly outed as a bad boy, a real bad boy.
Upside down cross on the wife.
I think, yes, she was wearing that upside down cross.
Hail Satan cross.
With a crown, a circle of rubies.
Meaning she's a queen.
Behind the cross.
Right, queen.
That's a corona mark.
Right.
And that basically means death to the earth, death to the sun.
They are the pale horse.
Something
right?
like that.
I mean, the pale horse is riding. Because he says, we're going to have pandemic number two next. Everything he says happens.
Yeah, and they did that event 201 right before the pandemic came rolling out.
We're going to be praying about all that right now.
Yeah, we're going to stop these people from doing what they're doing because they're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah, Trump, did you hear this, guys? Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. He's taking it every day.
And that's freaking out the media big time.
Oh, that was, I looked at the TV screen, I'm like, you're kidding. Really?
I love it.
This is like some surreal, you know, thing. I mean, here he is, and then he announces it, and, you know, the entire nation has banned it because he likes it, you know, which shows insanity.
Except a lot of people are using it.
I would never trust anyone in a hospital around here. I'm sorry, even if I couldn't breathe.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about him doing something like that. Him doing something like that forces the conversation with
Correct.
The doctors.
Yeah.
Forces the people that go in and say, well, why is the president using this? Why is the White House doctor
because it works.
Prescribing this? Exactly. I mean, it's cost $25 and you got remdesivir that costs $1,000 for a dose. I mean, that conversation is now happening that wouldn't have happened had he not taken. This is him putting his own health, you know, there. You know, I've gone back and forth with people over this, and I cannot understand the failure to connect any logical sequence to this whatsoever. Let me just give me 2 minutes here. Let me just ask a few questions.
I know you have.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, no, here's some logical questions. If there is, if HCQ is dangerous, right? If it's dangerous, then why, then how, tell me how many people have stopped taking it for malaria, how many people have stopped taking it for lupus, how many people have been assigned to some other meds for rheumatoid arthritis? Zero. So you have nobody in the world stopping any other treatments. Does it just magically know that this is for COVID, but then it's not for, so it'll be a heart arrhythmia for COVID, but then it's not going to be for any of these other things that people are taking for?
That's a lie, by the way.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
So at the VA,
so many people are on it for those other things you mentioned.
Go ahead.
Malaria, lupus.
So I'm just going through and asking some logical questions. I'm also curious about a timeline, because if this drug has been on the market since 1945,
yeah,
when did it
years.
Become demonized? When did it become demonized? Now, here's another question. For the people that demonize it, will you hold the same level of scrutiny for this RNA DNA vaccine you're holding out for, in that they'll rush to the market? Are you going to hold the same level of medical scrutiny?
It won't work, guaranteed.
No, so what's the problem that I have is that when you're talking with people, we're not talking with people that are thinking logically, that are not seeing that when you see a report from a major news network about this, and then look at the ads that come on in between every segment. Whose ads are they for 60-70% of the time?
Big Pharma.
Big Pharma. Big Pharma, who has, with $6 trillion in the U.S. on the table for all of this response, do you think anybody wants a $25, $12, $25, $30 solution that you could solve? You could, now this, you could have upfront solved this issue. Now, this is my personal opinion.
It saved a lot of people.
Person, but this is my observation based on the possible facts on the table. Based on the possible facts on the table, you could have solved and treated every symptomatic person inside the United States for around $20 million all in across the country over the course of this entire thing. And you could have focused your time and energy on logistics and making sure that things were where they needed to be. And you could have, and remember, everybody was locked down for what reason? To flatten the curve. Everybody was locked down to keep the healthcare system from being overwhelmed. Well, you had a solution right then and there where you could have done
dumb America.
And there was never any danger of the healthcare situation getting overwhelmed. There never was.
I have an observation. Why do you intentionally spread a bioweapon, mislead the people and tell them it's a virus, and then withhold the cure?
Yeah, I know.
But the withholding the cure really pisses me off, man. Because
not to mention ivermectin, even cheaper.
And then proceed to wage psychological warfare,
which I hate,
using the tactical use of propaganda, threats, and other non-combat techniques that they use during war.
Yep.
Threats of a second wave of the COVID-19. Periods of you know. Intimidation of the people, demoralizing them in the streets, intimidating them, influencing the thinking and the behavior. Why?
Yeah, well, one of the things that is so troubling is the fact that they are loosing this army of people who want to have you arrested for breaking their rules. I mean, so many people
and
stare at me because I have
WHO.
No mask.
This is on behest of the WHO that lied from the get-go, out the gate.
Well, I'm so glad that yesterday President Trump doubled down. He doubled down on the WHO being the bad guys, and they have to reform or he's going to drop out.
And then they proceeded to threaten that if we didn't want more body bags, that we wouldn't politicize this.
Nothing but politicization.
And then we come to find out that the WHO is being investigated for global crimes against humanity and human trafficking.
So guys, like you said, Amelia, like now we have the WHO telling us, well, not telling us what to do, but suggesting that people are dying to that. But when you look at a country like in Africa, they have stopped the relationship with the WHO. They have kicked them out. That's third-world country. And we are, quote-unquote, the first-world country. And now they're doing, they're testing on people here. Like, things have shifted.
Well, you know, this is terrorism, folks. That's what it sounds
Here's something else I want to point out. I want to point something else out. For the last two months, I've made a point of For the last two months, I made a point when we look at the final death toll of this first round. Right, of what's going on. There may be other bioweapons, and I need and Dr. Judy, she talked about this has not been man-made, but it has been man-steered. You know, she's got some great points that need to be looked at. But off of this first round of what's happened, you will see far less people die in Asia and Africa than you will see in the United States and Europe as a result of this whole thing. And people need to ask themselves why. They need to ask themselves, why are so many people in developed, very prosperous countries becoming casualties of all of this, and why people that are working for pennies on the dollar to address this are doing so much better as countries. So those kind of questions should be asked, and because if people are being sacrificed, people are being allowed to die unnecessarily, it's a good time to know what you're dealing with, because these have implications to your life, to the lives of your families, to your opportunities going forward, to your resources, to you being able to fulfill your own destiny. So these are questions that I do think that they're very important that people surface them, and we have to get past these walls of oppression that the enemy set up through the people that are there to try to block. So to try to get people to go down a particular just conformity. You know, I mean, this social shaming for having a thought, for having a question, these are old tactics. The smear campaigns that also don't deal with the substance of what it is that you raise, but just deal with trying to slander you as an individual, but won't deal with the questions that you've raised. You know, I mean, who knew about the Bayh-Dole Act before all this stuff happened? I didn't know about this until a month ago, but now that we know about it, this is very concerning that there are public officials that can in the line of their work take patents out on that they can use for vaccines, and they can also steer public health policy in a direction where they can potentially have a massive personal financial gain. That is a huge conflict of interest that puts at direct odds the health of the general public to the profit incentives that are built into these type of actions by people that are public service. Those kind of things need to be exposed, discussed, and absolutely removed if these are the cases in point. So a lot of stuff is being exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, how does this also, let's come back to the subject of trafficking. Well, there is a direct correlation between your lack of access to financial services and the likelihood that you'll be trafficked. There's a direct correlation between the destruction of economies and the vulnerability of populations. So these are all things that have an interconnection, and these are all things that we need to keep in mind when we engage, when we do what we do, when we pray. So, but a lot has come to the surface, and this is also one of the most powerful things that we do as a body of Christ around the world, is come together and bring these things before God in prayer.
Well, you know, go ahead, Charles.
You know, I think that Patrick hit on the key word in his own testimony, and it's fear. Fear is the major problem here. Governments, militaries, strong arm men, whatever it has throughout history, the major way they control populations has always been through fear. There's a science to fear. When I was in the Army, they talked to us about programs they were using to instill fear in people. Fear, they said, was more important than in a war, because fear manipulates people. Fear causes people to do things, to go along, to follow the program that nothing else will do. There's a reason why in the Bible, if you look through it, probably the most common phrase spoken to men in the Bible is fear not.
Amen.
That's the key. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit of the living God, fear cannot find a place within you. You know, I've been through a very traumatic last few months with a heart attack, the death of my mother, a daughter now in the hospital, and all of this, and it simply is attempt to amplify fear. And that's what you see with all of this pandemic. Look at the headlines. It's meant to engender fear and panic.
Yeah.
They're not giving you an unbiased news. They're trying to stir you up, to agitate you, to bring you into a state of compliance through fear.
And how is Melody?
Things they're doing.
Charles, how is Melody? Have you got an update?
Actually, she's doing much better. She was, she's going to be released today.
Oh, praise God.
Let's see. I got a message from her last night. She said, they did an upper GI on her yesterday, and they came to find out she has celiac disease caused by a Cellcept medication.
Hmm.
And so they're going to alter her medications. You know, she has a kidney transplant she got from my son.
I see.
20 years ago or so. And so apparently they think they've got it under control, and they're going to send her home. She was down to like 9 pounds.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And she's a big girl. She's 5'6". So, you know, she should weigh 130, 140 pounds at the least. And so I hope they've got it settled. I hope, you know, but apparently they do, since they're letting her go home today.
Well, this is life. You know, these are the cycles of life. You know, you're young,
yes.
You're male, you're older, you get, you know, people don't realize that as you start to get older in your 60s and 70s, you get illnesses. But just, it's part of
life. I know about that.
Well, you know about that. I know about that too. So, yeah, that does happen. And what we do is, do we go cower in the corner? No, we just got to say, you know what? This is normal. The Lord's got me.
That's right.
The Lord, this is no surprise to God. And, you know, so I'm just going to be rejoicing here, because my God is my Lord, is my Father, is my way. He knows everything that's going to happen to me. He knows everything, and everything that's going to happen to me in between now and death day. He not only knows it, but he's given me a path to walk on during it. So I'm going to walk.
Right.
And when I cower, though, when I panic, which I always say not panic. Remember, we had a health issue on the way down here. I'm not going to describe it, but it was pretty bad. And I kept telling Trish, I said, now, look, what's the key?
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Number one.
Amen.
Okay, so that's what our entire country and world, unfortunately, because I thought like Spain and France.
Well, the media is just so
disgusting.
Guilty.
People
guilty,
disgusting,
totally guilty.
Should have never been born.
Yeah.
I mean, worthless people, totally worthless.
So many of them have definitely outed themselves as a
well. They want
an
money.
Enemy.
Yeah, they sold out for money.
They're hooked up with big pharma.
Sold out for money. They get paid a lot of money to lie. That's all they do.
We get 85% of our pharma from China.
I know.
Pharmaceuticals. And I just want to expand on something that Govinda was pointing out. I want to say first, though, USA is number one for human trafficking.
Correct.
And China is number one for organ harvesting.
Oh, boy. Silent.
There's some shady stuff that's been going on, and you know, China's been buying up a lot of land in Los Angeles for a long time and hiking up the rents, and you know, the legislators there have been, you know, really making it hard on the people to make a living and to keep their businesses open.
I see what you're saying exactly. You know, there was a time when the Japanese tried to pull this, like make a Japanese haven here in America, but they bought up all the real estate everywhere, and we're really trying to make inroads here. And I think, I'm not sure if it was because they felt that a lot of Japanese were going to move here or whatever it's going to be, but with the Chinese situation, I feel that the plan of the future is to move here and make this another China, you know, to take over the world, basically, but to move here and take over. That's you know where I started getting onto this up in around Detroit, they started having classes for kids in Mandarin, and I thought, that's certainly odd.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
For years, but I mean, I'm like, are we getting ready for our Chinese masters to come here and tell us what to do? You know, and that's
it can't happen here. This is America.
Well, I know. Back then, it sounded, you know, probably pretty outlandish to think that way, or even maybe even racist. I don't think I'm racist. I'm, you know, I don't think I'm anti-Chinese at all, you know, but I'm anti-Chinese communism. There's a difference between...
I'm not anti-Chinese at all myself.
No.
But I am anti-communism, yeah.
I'm anti, yeah, this totalitarian regime, the idea of... And what about Bill Gates, Govinda, the idea that President Xi is like... You know, praising him for the, you know, he's praising Xi and Xi's praising him for helping China out and being so great, and China gets an A according to Melinda Gates, and then Trump gets a D minus.
Let me share a little bit about China's development strategy as it relates to emerging markets and developing countries. So in Sri Lanka, what the Chinese have done over here is made, and they've done this in a lot of other countries, and you can find this everywhere if you go search, but they've made a lot of predatory loans, and they love to do it for public infrastructure, but they've made a lot of predatory loans at high interest rates where they'll actually, if you dig into it and find out what's going on behind the scenes, they find corrupt officials that they can bribe to sign for these loans. And so that, but they're at predatory terms so that the people can't afford what it is that they are getting. So then when they default, because they can't make the payments, now they seize those assets, they seize those locations. So in Sri Lanka, there's a port on the east side of the country called Hambantota, which is now been given to the Chinese, which became a, plus $1 billion project that now, because they can't, the country couldn't make the payments, now the Chinese government has taken it over, and it's now being used also for Chinese military purposes as well, though they come in civilian clothing. Now, so you have a Chinese military port now on the east side of this country. On the west side of this country, you know, they are doing this development off of the, you can actually see it on Google Maps if you zoom in on the city. They've reclaimed a massive area of land just off of the most prime real estate in the country, the most expensive real estate in the country, and they're creating an entirely new economic living zone there that will actually have its own laws that's separate from the country itself. So they are creating an entirely new place for themselves, even here within this country. So now this is just what's happening in this country, which has happened, their Belt and Road strategy. Now this is just how they do business. So they find people that are willing to play ball, people that are willing to forego the interests of their own population and sell themselves personally in their position to the Chinese. And the Chinese will find people like that where they can expedite their policies, whether it's robbing minerals and natural resources in Africa, whether it's strategic interests in particular countries geographically, whatever it may be, but they've been doing this continuously as they've been expanding themselves out. When I was visiting PAD up in Vancouver, the Chinese have bought up a huge chunk of Vancouver. So there's a housing crisis in Vancouver, and the price of rents and the price of properties there have gone up so much just because they've bought these places up and they've locked them up, so there's not the availability of housing in that place anymore. So these are strategies that they do that are government backed strategies. You know, they don't necessarily get into the service sector. They like to stay in the infrastructure, but the result of that is an expansion strategy around the world that and in most of these places that they go, they don't necessarily have the best interests of the people at heart. You have to understand that they're not so but these are government mandates. Now it's not to say, so there's a lot of wonderful people in China, but the CCP is not a nice party, and it is not a nice group,
not at all,
and they
don't have people's interests at heart.
Right, but I mean them.
They own like half the Senate.
But Gates and Fauci and those guys actually launched the virus, and now they're coming in with a cure that will benefit, say, Fauci and the Chi-Coms and Gates, something like billions of dollars when the vaccine comes out. Fauci will make billions of dollars. Now, you know, the whole thing about that is that Fauci's hands are dirty, as is the WHO, as is Gates, as is the foundations, and you know, and whoever, however the thing got started by the Chinese, these people had a hand in spreading it. And, you know, it was a plandemic in the sense that Bill Gates did Event 201. He promised us, and then he said, we're going to have a pandemic. And then the pandemic was already starting when he announced that. And then they went ahead and spread it. You know, the United States military spread it. The other countries also spread it. They sent the Chinese who were infected out all over the world. On purpose, intentionally, because China, and the whole thing started because China was losing a lot of money based on the the trade war that Trump started had been hurting them financially, so they just got desperate and they launched this thing.
Remember what was going on in Hong Kong as well before this happened.
Right, there were riots in Hong Kong. Riots.
Remember 9 months. 9 months of continuous, unbroken protests that were also impacting China on the mainland. So the Chinese mainland was on the mainland. The people were starting to say, "Hey, wait, these guys are standing up, and they're able to. Maybe we should start doing the same thing here."
Well, some of the people that
they
were.
You know what, Govinda?
What about
you know what,
celebrities?
Around that time, when I was, remember, I was on 20 on 20, and I was telling you guys that I was being censored. My reports were being censored on the civilians protesting in China. And at that time, I was researching because I was not, I kept posting these links to meats being, infected meats being sent out to Africa. And to Australia, and to all these articles, the CDC was confiscating thousands of pounds of
Smithfield
pork,
yeah,
and chicken, yeah, that came to our country, that was sent out to Italy. All of these countries were getting infected meat sent out from China.
Well, okay, so all these people involved in it. Okay, so we got the U.S. Government involved in working with China to spread the virus, and that's... Let me just say what they did.
I'm just
they
so glad
launched
Trump
the
was
pandemic.
Standing up to the WHO.
These people that are supposedly Americans and above the law here, because you're not allowed to touch Gates, you're not allowed to touch Fauci or any of these people, they actually work with the Chi-Coms to spread the virus, and they kept it quiet. Remember Fauci was saying, it's okay, go ahead and have people over. You remember all that? Well, that's spreading the virus. I'm sorry. He knew better. And you know, we act like, oh, he didn't know. He did know. They were spreading it intentionally to cause this pandemic because they'd already practiced with Event 201 with Johns Hopkins University. So they probably had also the nod from Johns Hopkins. They had the nod from most of the Congress, if not all. They had the nod from most of the Senate, if not all. They had the nod from the U.S. military, obviously, and the entire military-industrial complex. And Trump was like the one guy, you know, who was sort of out of the loop, who was trying to deal with this in a rational manner, but the traitors...
I'm so glad he's doubling
right,
down.
But, you know, you had the perpetrators, Fauci and Burke, sitting out there telling people what to do, along with Gates suddenly emerging on the scene and ordering people to take vaccines or else, and nothing goes back to
but
normal.
But that's okay. He's got a pink sweater on.
No. We got to arrest him. You understand? They must be arrested.
I agree.
You cannot have them walk. It's illegal for them to walk around. They've already committed crimes against humanity. They've killed I don't know how many millions of people. At this point, you've got to stop them. Please.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in law enforcement that can stop them? The answer is no. Is there anyone in any government that is above Gates? No. Can President Trump tell Gates anything? No. He can't. Unless it's secret.
I still have hope justice will be done.
Okay, so that's what we're facing. We all realized, and maybe some of us haven't because we're still traumatized, but we all realized at the same moment just how much power our government has, the president has, and does not have. We all realized it at that one moment when we saw Trump completely broadsided, tied and gagged, sitting there behind Fauci and Birx dictating U.S. policy. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life, but it's true.
I'm kind of encouraged that Trump has basically sidelined Fauci, and Birx seems to be coming out against the CDC and stuff. So maybe she's flipped. Maybe she's going to be a good girl.
You just have to be honest about the power. They don't have any power!
You've got them wearing upside down crosses, and they're flashing hand signals in the White House, Fauci, as he's walking out behind the podium. You've got Bill Gates rolling out Marina Abramovich with her VR.
Zeph took her out.
I mean, it's just too much. It's like this.
They're flaunting it.
It's so weird how that Abramovich, Marina, whatever, she abracadabra. She came in to attack Zeph. Zeph had to take her out right when that happened. Right. Had to take her out in the spirit, and she's been outed.
I did do that.
Zeph, where would we have been?
I think the majority of the people, it's obvious. You can see what's going on, you know?
It is obvious, but prayer took Marina out. Prayer that she attacked me, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, and the Lord got me up in the middle of the night, and she was, it was like 3 or 4 days of her. I'd never had anything like this in my life. And so the Lord said, start praying. So I did. And she showed up on YouTube, and then she got shut down and run off within one day. So I was tied in with that. But,
and I'm very encouraged.
She'll be back probably, though.
By the fact that so many people are, like, when you see these people like Bill Gates, you see him try to come out publicly on this or that. The comments from the actual people, they're like, no way. Get out of here. Go away. Bad boy. Everybody knows.
The thing is, ultimately people are entitled to believe in what they want to believe in, right? They have their rights, right?
Free will.
Right.
But the thing is these are criminal acts. This is terrorism.
Yes.
This is you don't have that right. They don't have that right to impose this.
They've been screaming a fire in a crowded church the whole time. Now that's illegal too. And they've been doing that, scaring the people completely, mm-hmm. Saying, oh, you're going to get you, it's going to get you, next one's really going to get you. And they're scaring people to death. That's not love. That's illegal right there.
And how about Lindsey Graham coming out and saying, oh, Bill Gates should be in charge of the WHO. I mean, hello. Is he supposed to be a Republican supporter of President Trump?
No, they're all those
he's,
guys.
He's completely lost.
No, they're all, those are the neocons. They're corrupt. He's not to be trusted.
Yeah, no.
But guys, at the end of the day, the biggest thing that it doesn't matter what happened, we come together. We come together as a one group, and we pray to our Lord, mighty God. At the end of the day, guys, we pray and we come together. Nothing can be stopped. Look, guys, it talks about it even in the Bible when the Israelites walked around the wall of Jericho, they shouted, the wall crumble, they shouted. And that's who we are. We are the battery. We are the energy. At the end of the day, we come together as one with the Lord. Guys, walls are going to crumble, loose, crumble. And
well,
that's the...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when something is a fait accompli, and they say, this is definitely going to happen to you, and like today we will pray, and we'll ask people to pray with us. But also, don't forget the times when God calls you in the middle of the night, whatever, and he says, I need you to pray. Now, why would God say, I need you to pray? Why would he say, I need that? This has happened to me many times, and it's perfectly biblical.
Me too.
But why does he need us to pray? Why can't he just do it himself?
Because he works through us.
Because we are integral. We are needed. That's why he says, I need. He needs us.
I remember when we were going to the Calvary Chapel.
need
in L.A. And Zeph on a Saturday was heading down for the men's prayer group. I didn't think anything of it. And then about an hour later, the Lord woke me up and he said, get on your knees and pray for your husband's safety.
Right.
Because they were going to try to kill him.
Right.
That day.
And then just take the body and, you know, disappear it.
Nice little prayer group. Nice little men's prayer group there.
Nice prayer group. I told one senior guy about it that was an elder, so-called, in the church. First of all, the reason, Patrick, we don't get together with many Christians is because most of them are fake. And they want to do you harm. And they want to see what you're praying about. Because they want to turn it on you. Like, if you're concerned about something, they want to turn that prayer into a curse. We've been burned so many times, and these are people, Jesus, 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 all day long, Jesus. And then they invite me to my own funeral. Okay? This is not odd. This is normal, actually. We have to have discernment not to pray with them, but to pray with us. The big difference. You pray with them, all they want to do is neutralize that prayer. Pray with us, we get somewhere. And God expects us to have the discernment to know who is fake and who is for real. Because when you pray with fake people, all they want to do is bring you down. That's all. You are the target, and everything you pray about, they want to reverse it. You know, just like a Satanist, because that's what they are. Okay. Especially the Christians are more the Satanists because they're already spiritual, so they need someone to worship. So they worship what they think the devil is or whatever. But I'll tell you something. The most trouble I've had, including health issues, has been trusting Christians. Biggest problem I've ever had.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote. And you know, so again, we have to tell people you got to use discernment. I mean, if you feel something in your spirit isn't quite right, then you just got to kind of excuse yourself and get away. And there's nothing wrong with if it's just you at the end of the day that's real, everybody else is fake. You get on your knees with your father and your prayer closet. You go to town, and don't let anyone tell you that's not as powerful as getting together with, you know, random other people. We can't, you know, I would love to have had a church to go to, but I don't because they want to attack me. I would love to. Why do they attack me? Because I get prophetic visions that are accurate. Why is that bad? Because you can see the people that are fake and not fake, and then you out them. Why is that bad? Because that causes pandemonium in the church, and then it causes the church to be in flux, and so they want to get rid of a troublemaker. That's all that, in their mind, they're doing, getting rid of a troublemaker, somebody that accurately prophesies about who is corrupt and who isn't within that church body and that organization. Yeah, I'm, you know, to me, it's like the churches are closed. The reason they're not open is because God doesn't want them open. We're the church, not them. Not their fancy buildings and all their, you know, forcing people through blackmail to tithe every week. We're the church. We get together and voluntarily pray because we love God. We love each other. Not because we have an alternative, you know, ulterior motive or agenda. And unfortunately, you know, these people in the... I'm telling you, for me, there has been no greater danger than a 501c3 church person. That, you know, I mean, like, we tried to, you know, we've tried so many times to fellowship. And we thought, well, what have we done wrong? And the answer is, we didn't do anything wrong. Trish and me, we didn't do anything wrong. They are wrong. And their job is to down us. And they come with a smiley face. And they got a dagger behind their back. And all they want to do, is, they think that if they can destroy us, that they're doing God a favor. They're doing the church a favor. Mm-hmm. They think they need to bring us into line, and if we won't be brought into line, then we need to be cursed and dead. And that's just exactly the way the Chi-Coms are. That's the way the Satanists are. That's the way a lot of the bad things in this world are. It's like they want to control you. And if they can't control you, they want you dead.
Yeah, it's not about the virus. It's about control. I mean... from the get-go on this whole thing.
Well, that's why most of our listeners don't have a church to go to. Because they went with an open heart. They went with love in their heart for other people. They got in there, and you know, after a while, they got burned real bad, and they never went back again because it was very dangerous. And they had to learn discernment. What's the discernment? Okay, who's real, who's not? You know, what's real? A lot of people, they say, well, you know, Zeph's exterior behavior means he's not real. Because I'm, you know, I'm gruff. Sometimes I cuss. Sometimes I, you know, I'm more or less, you know, I don't try to put on a behavior. And so they go, that's the problem right there. And that's not the problem. Those are exterior things on people. You got to be able to see through to the heart of a person, to the spirit, to the soul, to the mind of that fellow human being that you're trying to fellowship with. And you got to be able to see that. And if it's somebody new or something, you pray that God will bring them in. And if there's if you have a question, you pray for protection when amongst them, because there'll be more than one or two Judases out there. It doesn't mean don't do what you're led to do in prayer and getting together with people. It just means you got to be careful, because when I didn't know anything, that's when I got set up the worst. It's only when I learned a few things. Like one time I outed a guy, I guess he worked for the FBI, he was keeping dossiers on people. And I went to the pastor, I said, hey, pastor, this guy is definitely wrong. You know, he's like keeping records on people, using church for... The next day, they shunned me. He was gone the next day, by the way. And then they kicked me out, me and Trish. Okay, because we uncovered a truth. There was an undercover agent there. And we uncovered the truth. God showed me who he was. I could see his little badge and his, you know, special agent thing. And so
funny, when we first went to that church, it was a Wednesday night, and he met us at the door, that FBI agent.
Right.
And he said he had a real hard time with people who wouldn't go along.
Right. So he said that to me right off the bat.
Before he even stepped into the church,
We were at war right then.
Right at the very beginning.
Right then. We were at war. Because he knew I was going to out him. He knew it somehow. Okay, so that's not the right way to spend your time with church. to be in that kind of, like, outright warfare with people. You want to be in concert with people. You want to be able to be vulnerable, to open your heart, to love, to be loved. You don't want to be have your defenses and your hackles up the whole time. It's some white knuckle affair. That's not God's church. That's warfare. And you know, we've been through we've been through many, many years of it now. And I can tell you this.
I remember when we first went to that church, I was like, I wonder why the Lord wants us here. Because Holy Spirit.
Because that was more the typical Church of America. The Church of America is dead. So the door is now being locked. It's just like a mausoleum. They ought to just put the dead in there, and bury the dead in there, and then burn it to the ground. I mean, there's no point for the church now in America unless we have a revival. So.
Well, there is that. I'm not familiar with Reverend Pastor Wilkerson's. He had that prophecy that there would be a plague that would hit the United States, and that New York would be especially hit hard, and that they would be closing everything. But that out of that would become a great awakening and a revival. So we can hope that there will be a revival.
Well, yeah, and it's going to have to be a great pressure.
I have a prophecy.
Let's hear it.
That China is going to be quarantined until they close down their bioweapons facility, and they're thoroughly investigated and to make sure that they've closed down and shut down their bioweapons facility, because
I like it.
It's a global threat to humanity.
Yeah, and President Trump is a one-man wrecking ball against China and the WHO and that whole thing. I'm so proud of him that he doubled down yesterday on cutting off the WHO unless they reform.
It's really scary. You know, and it's not, this is a global, it's a global issue. It's affected humanity worldwide.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the least they could do is, we can, cut them off, until they, you know, shut down their bioweapons facility, you know, and they can invite us in to ensure us that, you know, that they're in compliance.
Yeah, and examine all the evidence and all the players. I like it. I like it, Amelia.
Absolutely.
I went on a rant. Charles was. You were going to say something, Charles, and
you know, Zeph, I had a question that I posted in the chat room. Where would we have been in this pandemic had Hillary been elected?
It oh my gosh!
Seems like God answered a prayer that we didn't even know we uttered.
Yeah.
Thank God.
In that election, where would we have been? I just wanted to hear your response on that thought.
What I think we would have been is a lot of us would have been hunted down and rounded up already, and we would have been shut down across the internet a long time ago if she were president. Before the pandemic, we would have been that means kicked off YouTube, kicked out of Facebook, kicked out and then labeled. I think if they had, probably they would have had their contact tracer thing in business, which is what they're trying to do now. They'd be sending people to your home if you say something wrong on the internet. If you have the wrong thought or if you've ever done anything wrong, they would be sending people to talk to you to encourage you to go to a psychiatrist or something like that. And they would have some kind of, you know, there would be pandemics every year. And they'd be mainly for culling old people, probably. And, you know, they'd be importing all kinds of immigrants that, you know, that probably to replace the people here that are being killed. And slowly, over, you know, a 4 or 8 year period, they'd be able to replace. I think Clinton would have replaced a lot of us with incoming, you know, people from wherever. And
they could immediately put on welfare so that they would vote for them.
Well, also skilled people, like, you know, I'm seeing up in Detroit and all that area, Chinese managers coming in. Hillary's really in bed with the Chi-Coms, big time. Bill Clinton, they gave the Chinese all the secrets and military secrets, and they've been in bed for a long time. And again, because they're above the law and no law can touch, you've seen everyone say Hillary's guilty, lock her up, and Trump goes, yeah, he leads the charge, but he can't lock her up. Understand, he cannot touch her, he cannot touch Gates, he cannot touch any of them. And that's where we are today, and I think this is a sobering time for people. They're realizing the limited that our government, number one, can't save anybody, right? And our government cannot bring our government is incapable of bringing justice. Only God can help us now. That's it. It's the Hail Mary pass time. So, but Hillary would have, she would have taken us out. We might have even had some kind of nuclear war with her.
Well, I think she would have wanted to go immediately to war with Russia.
Right, a nuclear war where it cleans up.
You know, and just hide the whole China thing.
Well, she would let them launch their weapons on us, but then she wouldn't retaliate against them, probably something like that. And, you know, the main thing, Hillary's at war, she's at war with anyone who's a Christian or anyone who has common sense or an IQ. Anyone who has an IQ would be a target of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it's like when Hitler was doing
anyone
his thing,
who thinks
they
not just they, Christians.
They took all the people with glasses that wore glasses because they figured this person is probably can read and is educated to some extent. So let's just kill them.
Hey, something on the news right now, guys. Just some breaking: thousands evacuated as the dams break in Michigan. And that governor up there that locked everybody down, she's now trying to evacuate them. I'm sorry, it's not fun. You got to make this up. It's like, does anyone see a biblical reference here? God broke the dams.
She's all excited.
Look,
she may be
Look, there's our governor. VP. There she is. I told everybody that she was going to be.
Vetted for a VP. Gretchen Whitmer.
No, our.
And what's her name?
Come on.
Lujan.
Yeah, you know, she kept everyone locked down so she could run for VP.
Yeah.
And people are starving and dying in New Mexico now, and all the businesses are broken forever, and she gets all the credit for all the death and destruction, so she may be VP. She'll get chosen because she's got Hispanic blood, which is going to be good, you know, good.
Lujan.
It's going to make...
Well, let's get to praying here, you guys.
I'm so, you know, has anyone share with me the anger...
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody here feel angry?
I already have. I have, like, I get frustration, and then it comes and goes in waves.
You know, because I got to a point in New Mexico where I used to just, like, walk up to people and start laughing in their face, you know, just like as I pass them. Just, you know, as a defense. I mean, it's wrong to mock them, but, and I repent. But I'm saying I got to that point of frustration.
It's frustrating because of really the people that suffer because of this kind of action. I mean, if this was people doing unilateral things affecting their own lives, it's one thing. But the destruction and the suffering and the misery caused as a result of all of this on so many people around the world is really aggravating.
If you want to see how stupid the people in New Mexico are...
It was really contrived. It was really planned out, and especially if you think about, you know, how they confiscated the meats, and they've been you know, warring on the farmers.
Yeah, they hate meat.
And you know, and you know, Bill Gates was trying to usher in the fake meat industry.
Yeah,
everything that guy does is wrong. He's trying to wipe out meat. I mean, this guy is
the wiping out of the sun is terraforming so these things can live, because once the heat comes, these things, they're not going to be able to sustain their plan.
No.
So they want to try and black out the sun. I mean, this is just so contrived.
So wrong.
Ridiculous. And it is exactly what it looks like, folks.
Look,
yep.
I was in a restaurant yesterday, a waitress in Houston, telling me Gates is the closest thing to Satan that there is.
Antichrist and material.
That's what she said. Right there in front of anybody, you know, just really open, you know. And I was so happy to hear that. I said, oh, you too, huh? You see too. In other words, we know, right? And I go, you know, right? And I go, I know. Do you know? She goes, yeah, I know. I know who wins in the end, she said.
Yeah.
This former computer programmer is now a public health expert. I mean, when did he become a doctor?
Well, he never went to school. He couldn't go to school. He was too dumb. He's an idiot savant. He's a savant. He can't pass even freshman, you know, English or something. He can't pass arithmetic. He just knows the computer. That's his main thing. That's it.
But he has a pink sweater on.
Out of a computer, so he's better forget about viruses in a body. But no, it's just the thing is just there's so many people that are suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, just even like in the place where I'm living right now, up and down the street, you know, there's been in the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, there's been 4 break-ins. Now that doesn't happen before this whole thing happened.
Right.
But people are getting desperate, and as people, you'll see it. You know, you'll see it. That, now, as time goes on, if this thing continues to drag on and on, people don't realize. But when people get desperate, they do desperate things. So these are not people that would be driven to those type of actions if things are working. So this is really a time not listen. This is really a time too for people to start looking at solutions, at new ways of doing things. People need to start taking the things that do work and the things that you do realize, and supporting and backing the new things, because we need to be bringing those things out.
Over the counter hydroxychloroquine for everybody.
Well, is that a big issue? I mean, should that be a big issue? Because in developing countries around the world, you can pretty much do that. You know, why is this being withheld from people in the States?
Because President Trump encouraged people to try it.
And then because they need the death rates up to be able to get to blame it on Trump so they can then get elected.
Well, can somebody just do, if somebody in the audience, because I know a lot of us don't do pretty stretched, but if somebody's got the time out there that's listening to this show, could you do an overlay between the places where people have been dying, being infected, and then also the political parties engaged and having the governorship or the local jurisdiction over those spots? I would be really interested to see what the overlay is between, if you could map that, to see where you have a greater chance of becoming infected and where you have a better chance of becoming of dying in the United States, and if there's any correlation by political parties.
And will Cuomo ever, you know, get any comeuppance for his killing of the old people, putting them back in the nursery homes that were, you know, infected with the COVID? Then they put them back in the nursery homes, and they die?
Because Cuomo's got a lot of blood on his hands, man.
I mean, he really does.
He killed a lot of people. He's killed tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
He rejected hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin, which that combination would have saved almost all the people that died. A lot died from old age, but almost all the people that died in New York could have been saved. But he blocked it. He knew they would die.
Well, you know, Child Protective Services, you know, have been using this as an opportunity as well to remove children.
Right.
That their parents have been diagnosed with COVID-19. And not only that, it's just horrible what's going on.
Yeah.
It's going on all over the world. I think it was, let me see, I'm trying to pull it up really quick. But there was 500 babies that were collected by Child Protective Services and sent over to another country, and they were abandoned because of the COVID-19. I have a link to the article posted in Porthole to Justice community chat and on social media news network. But I mean, stuff like this is going on all over the world, you know, with them trafficking these babies, and it's a global network. So
well, when you,
that's just one example.
When you don't have the rule of law, which we do not, when you don't have, when your president, your attorney general can't do anything, which they can't, obviously, or they would have, when you have no real law enforcement on the trafficking, you have, every once in a while we make a raid, but we don't really get at the root of the problem. And it's going on, you know, crazy, you know, it's for everyone we blast out and we arrest thousands of people and fix a thing over here, there's another one over there that pops up. So, you know, with the problems being what they are, and the United States being impotent at this point to do anything because it's too corrupt, because the politicians are all corrupt, and because the politicians are all corrupt, they can't do anything in the interest of the people. The people have been screwed here and are stupid to boot, and have been sold a Disneyland kind of existence. And now some are getting woken up because they're realizing there was all a sham. But when you have problems like that, you have to have a rule, Amelia. You have to have civilization, which we don't have, and a rule of law. Otherwise, there's a whole bunch of people that just do what they want, and nobody stops them.
Yeah, this was reported in RMX News, and over 500 surrogate babies were abandoned in the UK after wealthy parents barred from entering the country over the coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, God. What a tragedy.
Yeah, so not only that, there was something in here about a biotech clinic. It's apparently there's shocking videos of dozens of babies that are being housed at a biotech clinic.
Why?
In Kyiv, and they're crying out, and they're abandoned there. It's a human reproduction center. So that's pretty concerning in itself. I don't know. Apparently, each child was worth something like $9,900.
Yeah, that's the usual going rate. And then they, you know, perverts buy them and execute them for their satanic gods. You know, which is another problem in our society that we never even
help
talk
us,
about.
Lord. Help us.
We don't even talk about all the human sacrifice going on. the human sacrifices to their gods. I guess their real god is AI, but you know the dragon AI. Ha ha ha! What a joke. So the bottom line is, the entire situation we've been living under is but an illusion. We have the illusion of some sort of reality, but actually, it's almost like we're consciousness clones, that we've been cloned to think that we have a civilization, to think all these things that we think that are all untrue and all false. And we keep trying to go forward with common sense and all that, but it doesn't work because people are above the law, and that because the thing that we have is really the Truman Show. We don't have reality the way that we were supposed to have it. So my hope now goes on the Lord waking people up, because that you can't escape this thought now that it was all a ruse, that all the promises are broken, that the people that are supposed to be in charge of us have no good will for us in the future, and in fact will try to sabotage us or even kill us, turn us over to our enemies. So we now know that, right? We're all waking, you know, not all waking up, but a lot of people, when you take away the food, you take away the money, they can't go to the store. They're being held down, not to flatten the curve, but for some political reason. You would think that they would start waking up, right? I'll throw it to Govinda. What do you think?
Yeah, you would think that. You would think that something would kick in. But also, too, there's a lot of people that have... they're hoping that if they play ball, that they'll get an extra day on the track, that they'll get a pat on the head, that somebody will be there to take care of them. And it's not the case. Listen, it's not the case. The devil does not have any friends. You play ball with the devil, and at the end of this whole thing, he destroys everybody that's with him. So it's you know, today I was just doing a little bit of a read in Revelation, and just going through, I don't think people realize that
pale
this
horse.
Whole thing with with the mark. Okay, here's something with the mark. If this is indeed connected to
read it.
But besides being written out of the Lamb's Book of Life, your balance of your time here is quite miserable, because in the process of this whole thing taking place, the people that end up going that way break out with really horrible boils and sores all over their body. Now, I think, you know, if this one is in, Revelations 18, you know, that whole area, but in 16, 17, 18 is where I was reading today. But, you know, in that process, what ends up happening is that once God decrees, and once those first bowls get poured out, you end up with a really horrible situation for everybody that's gone that way. So it's for people that are trying to avoid pain, that are trying to avoid suffering, that are trying to avoid, you know, any discomfort by going the way of the devil. You are signing yourself up for the absolute worst possible thing that you can imagine, the horrors that are waiting for you by joining in that. And that's, so it's actually, okay, it's Revelation 16. It said, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there was a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Okay, so just right then and there, there
isn't that pestilence after the plague? Doesn't that come after the plague? Which is pestilence.
So you've got the vials, you've got the bowls. I think too, something as well is that this whole thing is layered. You know, there's layers, and so I wouldn't go completely on a timeline with all of this.
I think
just to realize that
Bill Gates is the rider on the pale horse, in my view. I mean, it just seems like it, right? I mean, it's pretty close. Here he is with the pandemic, and here he is going around with the real disease, which is the vaccine. But what about the fact, Governor, that all the people here love the vaccine? The market went up, believe it or not, 911 points 2 days ago.
911.
911, because they came up with a vaccine date that it would be before the end of the year, and the market went crazy. What do people? Why do they think that the vaccine will save them?
Well, you know, I've been. Here's the thing. I don't know if sometimes I wonder if my voice is. I'm just talking to a wall. But because if people even hear the things that I say sometimes, because as soon as they started talking about this, I was guaranteeing people this months ago that they're going to have something out way before the end of this year. And now the only thing that they're doing is buying time, because they've had this stuff before they even had this bio stuff come out. And so you cannot, even in the timelines of what they do traditionally with vaccines, you can't have something in the time frame that they are going to be rolling this thing out. So they're trying to stall and say, oh, we've got all these minds working on it. There's you know, this many dozens of companies around the world that are on a race for the cure. Everybody's dumping money into it. Everybody's creating the news story. The whole time they've got something just waiting to bring it out. So you have to understand that. So in reality, you know, probably September, maybe they'll try to get it all set up for Halloween. You know, it's just like, I mean, the kind of things that they'll, the kind of things
will
that
they'll
do.
Will that be the mark?
Though, Halloween.
Well, you know, if you watch, you mentioned, Trish, you mentioned the interview where Bill Gates' wife, Melinda Gates, comes out on, I think it's Good Morning America, with an upside down cross.
Right.
You know, she's wearing that on the interview, and then people caught that and saw that. And when they ask her the question about a vaccine, she telegraphs it to everybody there. I saw it, that they already have this. And she's like, oh, mm-hmm. And then they say, is it likely that they'll be able to maybe get this done by the start of next year, or maybe even possibly the beginning or the end of this year is the start of next year? And she says, trying to act, she's a bad actress, and she says, oh, that would be really lucky if they, and just as soon as she said really lucky, it's like, you have this stuff, you already have it. Right. you already have it waiting. You can see this thing. They the same way that Gates gets all excited whenever they talk about people being locked down and people being vaccinated and people dying, and he gets a big smirk on his face. I mean, the same, this, it's like, it's right, yeah. They're just oozing out of these people, of who they are and what they're about, where they're coming from. They've been kicked out of African countries. They've been kicked out of places where the game is up in some of these places where they realize what they're doing, even with them trying to bribe public officials.
India, too.
Isn't it about 10 countries now?
They're kicked out of India.
They've been kicked out of?
India, too.
Now, if that's the case, and they're able to continue to operate, people need to, and now here's the thing. If you've got the scriptures themselves telling you that anybody that whatever this mark is, now maybe this isn't it, but if this is it, this is the last place you want to be, because if this is it, and anybody that participates in that, you've got from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you're going to be breaking out with boils and sores and blisters, and you will want to die, and you won't be able to. I mean, you know, that kind of situation, if you're trying to avoid some discomfort, well, you better understand what you're getting yourself into.
And also, so if you live in America too, you're asking the question, how come people in other countries aren't dying? The first will be last, and the last will be first. We will be doing the dying for the world, because it's our turn now. And hopefully the rest of the world will live, you know what I mean? Not as a binary issue, we die, they live, but as just an observation that to whom much is given, much is expected. And we as Americans have failed completely, every one of us, in being gifted with so much resources, so many gifts, so many opportunities. But unfortunately, we abandoned God in the midst of all that. We became decadent. And so we need to be, you know, in my view, the dying here, Govinda, is not a mystery. To me, it's a God thing. You know, God is not mocked. What you reap, what you sow, so shall you reap. And God is not mocked. And I do believe that we have reaped death here because of our decadence and because of our selfishness. And that is, you know, people, it's going to take some people time to realize that. I don't mind. I'm here. I have benefited from being here. I have repented as well. But I see that most people around me have not repented, have not owned up to it, have not, you know, stated, yeah, you know what, we were really privileged. We really had a lot of things going here. And look, we abandoned God. You know, we didn't, I maybe could have preached harder. Maybe we could, things some of us could have done that could have made a difference, but we didn't do it. So it's now we're talking death. And it's not so much that the Lord is killing anyone. It's that that hand of restraint is lifted on this place because of us. We could get back in the Lord's favor if we would repent as a country. We would accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We would get on the right side of God and start thinking, you know, let God lead us rather than our own selfish desires. And if we could make that turn, just like, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we could make that turn, God would bless us. But He'll bless, you know, He blesses His people no matter where they are. So His people here are blessed. No need to worry about God's people here, about dying or living or whatever. He makes a way for us to live. Look at Psalm 91. He makes a way for us to live, even if everybody around us dies. So, you know, but we want our fellow Americans to live. You know, we want people to live. We want our fellow, you know, our fellow Chinese to live. Our fellow, you know, Japanese and South Americans and Africans and everybody, Europeans. We want everyone to live, but we have to repent.
There's a scripture. Let me jump back a couple of verses before chapter 16, verse 2. In chapter 15 of Revelation, verse 8, it says, "And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." That's very important that happens before this all takes place. Because basically, see, right now when we're about to go and pray, in the realm of the Spirit, we boldly go before the throne of grace. We're able to go in, and we're able to petition and ask God, and He still intervenes. We've seen it over these years in direct response to our prayers. This at this place, when we get to this piece, there nobody's able to go in anymore because of the transition that's taken place in the realm of the Spirit. And God's what God wants is going to be poured out, and what God wants is going to take place, and there won't be there won't be this petition that will be able to take place, because that in the realm of the Spirit now it's like things need to come to a completion. The wrath of God needs to be fulfilled. You know, there's also a couple different things going on. One is when you see these vile judgments, you know, you see a lot of man reaping what he's sown. But when you get to the bowls, that's just all out, like, here you go. Like, you want to play, it's no longer man. Now this is like God just basically saying, I'm going to take my hand off, and I am going to let these things be poured out, and you're going to see for yourself what it is to be, to go your own way. And you're going to, you're talking about, you know, scorching from the sun. You're talking about, you know, something potentially hitting this planet from outer space. You're talking about things that are cosmic, just earth-shattering events that can take place that are well beyond the manipulations of man trying to play God on this planet. And people will throw their silver and gold in the street because it's not going to help them at that point. So this right now, for those that are listening, this is your window to be engaged in what it is that God's doing. This is an incredible time for the body of Christ. This is an incredible time to be engaged in what He's doing. But it's on His page. And you know, this the window that you have, you may not have it for a lot longer. So while you have it, use it. Because you're here.
Yeah. Let's
you're here. You're on the stage.
Let's, you know, and it's if you don't know what to do, you're just tuning in, and, you know, we all sound wild and crazy because we are kind of, I guess. And I'll just speak for myself. I mean, I know I'm, you know, it's not like a regular church thing or whatever, but we all here have one thing in common. We love the Lord. We love each other. We pray together every month, 20 on 20, to end human trafficking by 2020. And now it's kind of like what's happened to Violet and John in Pakistan. It's now becoming an outreach. Govinda, it seems to me that this is morphing into an outreach for the lost here on 20 on 20. It's almost like you know, and human trafficking, but we're here to bring the souls in. I know there's a lot of Americans, and I, you know, in my frustration, you gotta forgive me too. I mean, I say people are dumb and all that because I can't believe it at times, but that's my anger. What we really want to do is not call people names. What we really want to do is just let everybody know that the gospel is there for them, that the love of God is there for them, that you can turn your life around. You can turn the government around within your life through prayer. See what I mean? God changes things, and that's on a macro level. So if you don't like the world you're in right now, got to get into prayer, got to develop faith. The Lord will give you faith. The Lord will give you Jesus. The Lord will give you the whole reason for everything. And you'll just be caught up in a new adventure called the Path of God. And it leads straight out of this place. Most of us here on this panel are very sensitive people. We've been hurt by the world, cried a lot, we've been upset. You know, we're more sensitive than the average person. And so we've kind of, you know, things of, you know, opportunities and whatnot of the world have kind of bypassed some of us because we take things, you know, we expect people to be honest and we get hurt because they're not, you know, that sort of thing. And if that's you out there, congratulations. You're a lot more meek than you thought you were. The meek will inherit the earth. That means the people that have a humble and contrite spirit toward the Lord, that realize they're capable of making mistakes, that they've been putting themselves first, they've been putting their desires first, and now willing to say it's not about me, it's really about God's plan. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask God to show me why He is the Lord and Savior, to prove to me why He was crucified, why He rose from the dead, and to show me that He came back then for a short, brief time, and prove to how many people? Many people. There's a very big case for Christ to be made that proved that He was dead but alive. He was in a different... He was not the same as a physical being when he was liberated from the tomb, and that he not only did he rise, but he had promised that he will come back. He's making a place for us. And indeed, what that means is he's provided a path for us out of this. If you don't like this Truman Show, this joke, this what I call a simulation. If you don't like the Truman Show simulation that you're in, where all of a sudden you have a comfort zone, next thing you know, the rug's pulled out from under you, and everything you know now is wrong, that sort of thing, if you just can't handle that anymore, the Lord is steady. The Lord is truth. They call Jesus the truth, the life, and the way. Okay, truth. When I say Jesus, I mean truth. When I say truth, I mean Jesus, period. When I say Jesus, I mean way. He is the way out. When I say life, He is the water of life. He is the source of life. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. That's a paradox. He is the source of all things. He is the Godhead. He is the encompassing of us. And He needs us. Because when God tells me to pray, He goes, "Son, I need you to pray about this." And wakes me up. And then, "Oh, you need me? Yes, I need you to pray." Okay. See, I'm willing. I'm there, willing to pray. You see, I'm willing at any time of the day, 24 hour. I'm on duty 24/7. Anytime He wants me to pray, I'm gonna. Because I know He needs me to pray. He needs you too. He needs all of us in our own individual way because He made us. So He needs us for a purpose. What's that purpose? He needs us to pray. Imagine, a lot of you think that God is separate from us and He doesn't need us for anything. He can do whatever He wants. Wrong. He gave us free will. So if we want to reject Him, we can. If we want to do our own thing, we can. If we want to accept Him, we can. We have free will. That is the difference between us and every other created being. We have free will. We have free will to choose good or evil, light or dark. And there isn't really much in between those things. So if you're tired of going around the same Disneyland merry-go-round over and the Mad Hatter, right, at Disneyland, over and over again, round and round and round in that. The Lord is the way to truth. The Lord is the way to life. You like life? You want life in more abundance? You want more joy? You want to laugh again? The Lord is the way. You want answers to why the pandemic and why all this stuff's going on? In the Bible and in the Lord, and being led by the Bible, by the Holy Spirit, which also opens that up to you, then you're able to see why things happen. You're able to see how things happen. you're able to get a glimpse of the person we call God and realize that, he's actually a person, like I'm a person. But we know his ways are above ours, his thoughts are above ours, but he needs us. See, he's calling you out there. I don't know who you are, but he's calling you because he needs you. He made you for not to be a random, a balloon floating around out there. He made you to be tethered to himself, but you have to make the choice. If you just say yes, you really mean it. You know, you really want to know God. Just say, Lord, please show me everything. He'll show you everything. You now know that he is the Lord, right? You now know that he is sovereign. You now know that in him, you are sovereign. In him, you are free. In him and nowhere else. Nowhere on this earth are you anything but a slave. But in him, you're free. Free to infinity. Free beyond your wildest imagination. But it ain't going to happen unless you make a move. You're going to have to go look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I love this world. Oh, I love everything that's going on here. This is awesome. Or be honest. You know, things could be better.
When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. Isaiah 59:19.
Do you think that I fight my battles when I say I'm involved in spiritual warfare? Do I fight any? What did I do with Marina, whatever her name, Abracadabra Marina, the marine spirits, right? The under the sea goddess. What did I do? I handed it. It's too big for me. I said, Lord, I'm here in prayer. I hand over the entire situation to you. Please, Lord, get her off me. Please, Lord, deliver us from this woman. Please, Lord, do not make her the queen. Please, Lord, I hand it over to the Lord. What happened? She was thrown off the stage about 2 days after she got there. And I was actually involved in that. I mean, it was I'm a witness to that happening. I don't know how many other people were there. There may have been a million people involved like I was. But I was called up, and I had no choice. She was in my dreams attacking me. And, you know, the typical thing. Obama, this happened with Obama, too. But she was in my dreams attacking me, inviting me in, right, to join up and being real seductive and showing me all the cool people and this could be really cool. And then after a while, she realized I wasn't exactly joining up. Then that all those niceties turned into viciousness. And then I found it
hilarious, too.
I had it to the Lord.
She wanted to meet with Alex Jones.
Yeah, because she felt her reputation was ruined by everybody calling her out on YouTube that day. It all went down on that one day. But what I did is this. How do I fight my battles? First of all, they're not mine. I give them to the Lord where they ought to be, and the Lord fights them. And because I have faith, I am forbidden to worry. I don't worry. I don't live in fear. We've given it to the Lord. Now let it go. And we just walk on, and when he fulfills that prayer, which basically everything I pray, he fulfills. So when he fulfills that prayer, when he beats that battle, when that battle is won, we give all the glory. We witness that, hey, Lord, look what you did. I gave it to you and you fixed it for me. I gave him a health issue, guys, that would have sent 99% of you into the hospital. Okay? And I gave it to the Lord. And I'm serious. I didn't panic. I gave it to the Lord. And bottom line, within the turnaround was in one day. Today I'm doing better than ever. And, you know, and avoided...
Hallelujah.
What could have been a very, very, very painful situation with the medical community. And, you know, that was all God. And it was on the way. I'm in a trip. I'm on my way in our RV. You know, I can't exactly just, you know what I mean? I'm locked in. What am I going to do? And the key was not to panic. That
was
one thing.
It was pretty scary. Zeph was even, you know, here we were heading down to Houston to finish up the sound deliverables on the film Girl Next we're working on. And, you know, it was like, do I turn around and go home?
Almost happened.
I'm like, no.
No, and it was just like, that's how painful it was. And gave it to the Lord. It got turned around instantly. And the trip is, you know,
thank
obviously,
you,
you know, the Lord's a success. We, director, and I know it sounds silly, but even before we started yesterday, we held hands. We held each other's hand, and prayed while everyone was out of the room. We prayed, you know, that this would go, because we know what can happen in these sessions. You know, we know stuff can start flying around, and, you know, and it was just glorious. We have to do the same thing today. We're going to give the Lord the day, you know, our daily bread. We're going to give the Lord this day, and whatever we're going to encounter, whoever we're going to see, we just want it to be a blessing to the Lord. We say, God, what do you want us to do? What would you like us to do? You want me to write a check to LTO today?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, whatever you want, Lord, you know. And those of you who are thinking, well, I don't write a check, I use PayPal. But the thing is yeah, that's on our hearts. We know we help them all we can, because we're literally pulling children off the street that would die otherwise. And so now it's become a much more... And the reason I segued into talking about this is because this is what God wants me to talk about. He wants me to talk about LTO and the fact that they have an outreach and they need...
They're feeding
people.
It's
no longer just about the children in an orphanage.
Feeding starving
people. Now we're feeding starving people on the dusty streets of Lahore, Pakistan. And we're dealing with the third world lockdown. They don't have any backup. They don't have any savings. They don't have any food in the cupboard. They got nothing. So, you know, it's like kind of like the outreach to Bangladesh when the Beatles had that. It almost feels like, and you see people starving all over the place, or Calcutta, or wherever. You know what I mean? It's the third world. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that if God's leading us to do that, we do it. And by the way, when I do what God is leading me to do, guess what happens over on this side? It's like a deal, you know, he's going to heal that thing that was wrong with me. I'm going to give, you know, wherever he wants me to give. Maybe for you it's, you know, there's orphanages and, you know, maybe it's not an orphan. Maybe it's a old folks home. Maybe it's giving of your time somewhere to volunteer for something. Maybe it's preaching to people in prison. Boy, they sure could use it. You know what I mean? And going in there, and I know a lady that does that in Santa Fe, and she goes in there. And they're, you know, drug addicts and, you know, criminals of all types, and she's sharing the gospel. Many, 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 many things. Or maybe just lead a, like Patrick was suggesting, a prayer group over in the Walmart parking lot. Amen. You know, to that's what I'm talking about. That's the real church. Mm-hmm. And Jesus' church is not troubled. Jesus' church is very, very strong right now. Jesus' church is growing. There's a mass awakening going on all over the world because of the lockdown. It's going to have a deleterious effect on the powers that be and on people like Bill Gates and people who thought they ruled the world. And maybe God will win this for us, but believe me, the more of us that get together on this and the more of us that pray together, the more of us that realize that we are the church, not necessarily a building, but us. We're it. We're it. And in this church, we don't get kicked out.
Amen.
Patrick, you want to say something? I thought I heard Patrick. Well, I certainly hogged the show today. Sorry.
Hey, we haven't even started praying. Let's start praying.
All right. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for this day. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we come before you as your children. We come before you, Father God. We boldly come before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, the way made where we can come before you, and Lord, we can bring our petitions, Father, to you. Lord, when two or three are gathered in your name, you're with them. And so, Lord, we have so many more, Lord, today. We're all gathered together in oneness of spirit, in unity of spirit, unity of heart, in your name, Lord Jesus, bringing our petition before you, as we've done, Lord, every 20th, now for years, Father God, to continue to come before you as the persistent widow would come before the judge. And that was an unjust judge, but she continued to come before him, and he granted her justice. So, Lord, we come before you, the King of Kings, the ultimate judge, the one that's over it all. And we ask, Father, for your kingdom to come. And we ask for your will to be done. Father, we ask specifically for you to end this system of human trafficking, for you to end this modern-day slavery in all its forms, whether it's the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking, the organ trafficking, the illegal adoption, the the child soldiers, the unsafe migration around the world, Lord, whatever form it may be in, Lord, we ask that you would end this system of slavery, Lord, that is there on this planet. Lord Jesus, you came to set the captives free, and you came, Lord Jesus, to destroy the works of the devil. So we ask, Lord, even as you said it's finished, Lord, let this work be finished. And let this be done, Father, in this year of 2020. Lord God, let this be done, Father. End this system of human trafficking. End this work of the devil. Destroy it. Annihilate it completely. Let there not be a trace of it left. And Lord, end this system, Father God, that destroys the souls and the lives of people all over this world. Father, we know that we're in a time of trouble. Around the world, and there's all kinds of different manifestations of it. But we hand all of those things over to you, all of the cares and the concerns that we may have as a people of God on this earth. We leave those at your feet right now. We know that your promises are true, and we seek you first, Lord, and we know that you will take care of our needs and lead and direct us, because you are the good shepherd, that you may lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. But, Lord, we will fear no evil, Amen. For you are with us, Lord. Lord, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And so, Lord God, you restore our soul, and we know that. So, Lord, wherever you lead us, Lord, we will go as we follow the Good Shepherd. But, Lord, we bring our petition before you this day. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, we pray, Lord God, that this would be concluded in this year, Father. Yes. Lord, let this no longer continue. All you have to do, the centurion said it, Lord, while you were on the face of the earth walking. He said, all you've got to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't even have to come to my house. All you've got to do is say the word, and it's done. Lord Jesus, we know in regards to this issue of human trafficking, in regards to this slavery, all you have to do is say the word, and this whole thing is done, and it's finished. So say the word, Lord Jesus. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you because we can come together and pray together, because that is the most important thing. And I pray, Lord, that's what people will start doing, praying and standing up for what they believe, Father God, not just in the spirit, but physically. Father God, I pray, Lord, for all the victims of human trafficking. All of it in the Lord, you put your hands upon them. And Lord, even this year, going to God, Lord, Father God, we will see a massive shift, you know, trafficking, Father God, that those people are going to be overarrested or go to prison, but things are going to change. People are
going to be Pastor Marco Janka, Ajahn, phone correctly,
trafficking. Lord, my God, I pray. I pray, Lord, Father God, the blood of Jesus upon people, Father God, as we go through this pandemic, Father God, that we will come to you, Lord, we pray against fear. That people are going to be, Father God, that fear will be changed with strength and power and confidence in the spirit.
Amen.
In you, Father God, in you, Father God, we search for the Bible and the stand of people in this time, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
People will come together and pray. People will come together in consciousness.
Yes, Lord.
In love, Father God, in unconditional love, we'll come and stand together. When I pray for the name of the people, of the eyes of the people, Lord, and pray that, Lord, you will walk with those people, and that shift will happen, and it will be so powerful, Lord, so powerful, Lord, Father God, that people even realize they're going to change, the way you do things are going to change. People will know who they are and what they are with him. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing. And we thank you for the victory, Father God. And Lord, on the time that we get frustrated or we get mad, Father God, we will drive us to our knees to pray for change, to pray, Lord, you will stand over us. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name, God. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, for allowing us to join together again to stay. I praise your name for all that you have added to my life through this fellowship, through these believers who have become so important to me. And today, Father, as we join together, I pray again for the end of human slavery, for child abuse, all kinds of abuse, all these things, my Father, the power, the evil that is controlling this world. And more than that, Father, I ask you to break the fear that has locked us into this evil. Send your Spirit to strengthen our hearts, that fear may no longer be a concern, may no longer drive us.
Yes, Lord.
For I know, Father, I have known, I have touched your love, and I understand that this love casts out all fear, all doubt. Bring us, all of us, into your presence, Father, that this fear may be cast out from among us. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father, this is a beautiful day, Father, in our life, Father. Father, I believe that these are the days that we will prepare ourselves, that we are your bride, Father. We are our church, Father. Father, first of all, with all of your beloved ones who are praying in with us, Father, I pray for all the families who lost their beloved ones, Father, with coronavirus, and they died, Father. There is a disturbance, there is a sorrow in the families, Father. Me and Violet and all the your kids, we are crying for them, Father, that please heal them, Father. Give them a rest. They will accept this incident, Father. Father, this is a great plan of the Saturn, Father, with every various fear of death. And I believe that you are alive, Father. You are in love, Father.
Yes.
And I perceive our experience, we are going past in slum area, in rejected areas, in vagrants, in many places. And when we see the people are lying hungry on the backs, even they don't know that the food will come. But Father, then your people go with the food, Father. They always think that Jesus has come here. That Jesus is here to provide us with food, Father. And Father, we are not Jesus. But they're thinking that we are Jesus. We want that encourage all people, give the blessing to all people, Father, who are just sharing their hearts with us. They are sending their love gifts to us, that we will reach more people, more and more people, and we will win the heart for Christ. And I believe that this coronavirus days, even the settled world, that the all over the world, the people will just scared from this virus, but we are distributing food every day for the people in this faith that this soul is for you, Father. This flesh is for you, Father. We are so poor weak because your spirit polishes all this work in us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Father, give us more people, Father, that we will share the real love of Christ with the people. I believe that you are coming soon. Bless us.
Yay, Lord.
Bless everyone. Bless all the world, Father, and finish all the swathes soon, Father. And we will move, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amelia?
Amelia.
All right, Trish.
Did Amelia drop off? Oh, Lord.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, dear Jesus, I just want to pray for all the children and families around the world at this time, that they're provided for and protected, their immune systems are strong. I want to pray this also for the panel and for all of the listeners. And I want to pray that all of this horrible psychological warfare and mind control stuff in the media and all this stuff is that everyone is protected from that as well. And that we only fear you, Lord. And that no weapon the enemy forms against us shall prosper, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and we have you, and you have put all things under his feet, because Christ dwells in us, and we declare that he's greater than is in us, that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
In
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together today to pray once again to put an end to human trafficking and modern-day slavery in this year, 2020, Lord, throughout the entire world. Lord, we know that you can end it. We know that you can just, as Govinda said, you just say the word, Lord, and we are here to witness your glory, that you would put an end to the trafficking and to the human suffering by the system. The system needs to be just completely pulled apart. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have during this eventful time of this this try by the evil ones to enslave the entire globe and to chip us and to just, you know, ruin us. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given us, and that we can see what's happening, we can see what's going on, and we are encouraged by others that see as well, and that aren't going to be falling for this propaganda that this plague has been, you know, just thrown at us. We see what's going on, Lord, and we are not fearful, because you give us a spirit of strength, and we know that you will be the victor throughout this entire thing. Lord, we thank you for the truth that is coming out about all of these bad things that have happened to the government, the things that are being revealed now that we've known for years, but now they are being revealed. And we just pray that you will bring justice, and we ask, Lord, that you protect the people that are leading in bringing the truth out, Lord. We ask that you will protect everyone who has a righteous heart towards you. And Lord, we thank you for putting an end to to human trafficking and modern-day slavery. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
Lord,
Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for fighting our battles and for healing our sicknesses and guiding us in your ways, which are above our ways, and in your thoughts above our thoughts, that your plan is superior to anything of us, but we in you succeed. When we are in you, in Christ, we succeed, because, as you stated, you need us. Lord, your love is very powerful. I just pray, Lord, that this is an awakening, that you, Father, make this be an awakening, please, yeah, that would awaken the whole world to the truth about you, the truth about Jesus, the truth about false religions, the truth about false ways, that let this lockdown, this pandemic, be used for good, Lord.
Yes.
As it says in your word, that, you know, that which is intended for harm, you make for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord, that you would make this COVID issue, you know, a benefit rather than a curse. And Lord, I ask you for justice. I'm going to hand over,
yes, Lord,
the perpetrators now to you. You know the perpetrators that did this. This was done on purpose. It was planned for years and executed against us all. Lord, I hand it over. I hand the people over to you, the people that did this, the people,
yes,
who
Lord,
participated,
yes,
in
Lord,
this.
Yes,
we need, mm-hmm, justice, and we can't get justice in the United States or any other country. These people are above the countries. Lord, I hand them all over in a little basket to you. Lord, I hand all these evil ones over to you, that they would not be allowed to continue, you know, destroying people who die, who don't even know what happened. They don't even know why they lived or why they died. They just are victims of these evil criminals. Lord, I ask you for justice, for justice, for justice, for justice. Please, Lord, give us justice on this. And, Lord, I ask you to blunt the pain of the starving and dying. Please, Lord, intercede. Feed them all. Feed them all who are starving. Feed them all around the world that are harmed even more than we are because of this thing that happened to us, you know, against our will, and by people who actually arrogantly put themselves up to be our leaders, the very ones who stabbed us in the back, the very ones who brought the COVID-19 attack, the very ones who planned the pandemic from the start, the very ones who made the vaccines and the poisons already to inject us with because we're afraid. Lord, please ease the fear. Please wake everyone up that they would reject these vaccines and poisons and upside-down crosswearers and all these people that intend to do us harm, Lord. They're right there about to do us great harm. Lord, please protect us from this great, great harm they're about to do, this murder they're about to do to all of us, to everyone. Please, Lord, stop them. Please, Lord, we hand it to you. We hand the battle to you. Lord, please, if they die now, they won't know anything. They won't know. Please let us all know before we die. Please let us know the choice we have before we die. Please let us understand this is not really real. This is a valley of decision, not some thing where we get to find out what our true calling is. Please, Lord, please help us to understand it's about you, not us. Please, Lord, help us, show us that your way is vastly more enjoyable than our way. You know, please, Lord, help us to understand. We just don't understand, but now is a chance. Now there's a chance. Please let this false pandemic, this false PSYOP, psychological warfare program, be turned on them.
Yes,
and please, Lord, expose them all, as you have already,
yes,
done,
Lord.
As you've already done, you've exposed them all. Mm-hmm. Please continue to expose them until they're no longer listened to.
Yes.
Please stop them from being listened to. Please stop them from having any way forward. Please confiscate all their wealth and all their things and give them to the people,
yes,
Lord. Give them to the benefit of the people. These people don't deserve wealth or power or any of it. Lord, they've just used it all selfishly to hurt us. They've just used it to hurt us. All they do all day long is hurt us. Please stop them from hurting us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, we bring all these prayers before you. We seal them up before your throne, Lord God. We hand all of these things over to you as we, in Jesus' name, displace the powers and principalities of the enemy, and we move them out of the place and move them out and destabilize them and uproot them and destroy them, Lord, by the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you, Father, that you hear and answer all of our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I've never felt so. I've never felt so small and so big at the same time. I feel tiny, and then I feel big.
I also want to pray. I forgot I wanted
to pray
to ask the Lord Jesus, please shut down the bioweapons facility
yes,
in China.
Yes, Lord.
Wipe it off the face of the earth.
Yes.
Please.
In Jesus' name.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
And
those,
all the bioweapons.
And all the,
and the
bioweapon people.
Who are illegal. They are illegal.
And the bioweapon people.
Yeah.
We bring them to justice. I mean, we can't go on like this, folks. We can't go on like this. We are set up for another pandemic right now. We can't go on like this. It must be stopped.
Yep.
Or we're going to die, and we're not going to have any say in it. It's just going to be police state death. Screw you. You should have never been born in the first place. It's going to be something like that, and that's not what the Lord has intended for us. I know that. That we just, you know, die like, you know, people with no names, with no identity, another piece of garbage. Good, die, you know. That's not what God intends for us, for his people. But so we must pray to stop them. You know,
yes.
Certainly, you know, people must know by now that our own people in the United States helped to perpetrate this on the people, and then showed up as the saviors. And they showed up with information that led to a lot more death, and then they paid no consequence. And even the president, you know, I should have prayed for the president. I just want to add this prayer. I pray, Lord, that you just take the president in hand and just make him have every good decision there is. Wake him up, Lord. Wake him up to the fact that he's surrounded by the enemy. Everyone around the president is the enemy. Please, please, Father, give him the good decisions to mitigate them who are the enemy.
Yes, Father.
We all know the enemy.
Hold him up with your angels, Father.
Hold him up with the angels. That's
strengthen
right.
Him.
One on each arm. One on each arm, Lord. When he's standing there at the podium, and all of those Antichrist haters, all the press, they're evil. Lord, put them out of business. Put them out of business. Put the mind control out of business. Put these social engineers out of business. Put the foundations out of business. All these people are there to hurt humanity. That's why they exist, because they're all satanic, which means hurt humanity. Those who can be reformed, please reform them into being pro-life and pro-God and, pro-goodness, pro-light, rather than pro-darkness. This is terrible what they've done, and so many people around me think that the pandemic was a natural occurrence and that we're just victims and they're just going to do what they're told, because if they do what they're told, they're going to be rewarded. And they don't even know that our own people attacked us. Our own citizens attacked us. Our own think tanks attacked us. Our foundations attacked us. Politicians attacked us and have actually no remorse about all the deaths that were caused in New York. No remorse. None. As if, banning the hydrochloroquine is a cure. Was no normal thing to do. There's no responsibility for all the deaths that occurred after that. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And we ask you, Lord, how many corrupt are there? And there's so many corrupt, I can hardly count them. There's so many sellouts, the entire media, everybody. It seems like everybody sold out, everybody. And that's why America will have the most deaths and the most troubles going forward, unless America repents. You kicked even I'm not saying that I'm in the 501c3 thing, but kicking Franklin Graham, who's there to offer free services, free health services, but to kick him out, He never even mentioned anything about what the Bible says about gays or whatever it is. He's just there offering love and support. And he believes in the Bible. He needs to be kicked out of New York. There's no place in New York. Well, no wonder New York had the most deaths. You kick out God. Anything related to God. You want more death? You're going to get more death. Next wave. You're going to get a lot more death. Keep denying God. You're going to get nothing but death everywhere. Till even in your own homes, you can't get away from it. You're going to pile up there, and the stench will be so bad, they're going to have to come in with hazmat crews to remove your dead carcasses. Because you won't. You just won't. You won't yield the truth. You won't accept the truth. You won't accept what's happening. You're going to keep a fantasy, a Disneyland fantasy, that you're just an innocent victim. You've done everything right. You're a great global citizen. And boy, oh boy, it's awful, but Trump's incompetent. How about this, Govind? I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Oh. This is supposed to be a group effort here. I guess I'm really wound up.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. I really went.
No, you know what?
I'm sorry.
It's true. It's true. You know, the thing is that one reason why there's so much passion among everybody that's on this panel and everybody that's listening in and everybody that's in the chat room is because we actually care. You know, we actually care about the people that are suffering. We actually care about the people that are hurting. We do this out of the motivations. We do this out of the right reasons. And we also see. Here's the thing. We actually see what's going on. We actually understand what's going on. We actually are taking actions. Here's another thing, too. Everybody that's here... Everybody that's on this show, you have all taken actions in accordance with what you see and know and understand. The worlders they're no further, they're in the same spot they were 2 months ago, not knowing what to do, hoping that somebody will just tell them and instruct them. If they don't get a program to tell them what to do, what to think, what to believe, and how to do, they don't do anything. They just sit there and die. So the thing is that when we're impassioned like this and for this, and when we care about this, because we see, we know, we understand, and we know what's at stake. You know, I think the fact that these guys are literally playing with people's lives and costing people's lives. You know, and if you don't believe on if you don't believe, excuse me, that that's happened around the virus, then look at the public policy. If you don't see on the public policy, then look at the fear tactics. If you don't believe on the fear tactics, look at the withdrawals of things that have a good possibility of helping people and a good possibility of giving people a cure so they don't die. If you, excuse me, if you don't see it, you can just look and just, you know, somewhere along the way, you should be able to say, something's not right there. Why is that not right? And if you can understand why that's not right, and you can just pull that thread, everything else will become revealed to you. But the thing is that this is your souls, this is your lives, this is your journey, this is your time on the earth that wasn't meant to just be here. You know, you weren't just meant to just survive. You were meant to be a manifestation of who God made you to be. You're not just supposed to get by. So hopefully. You should take incredible boldness and courage, knowing that it's not that God is on your side. You're on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? And when you're on the Amen. Lord's side and you're with Him,
Amen.
You know, then you're
preaching to them.
God's truth. Yeah, it's so when you're on the Lord's side, you're on the side of truth. And here's the thing, too. When we say Jesus said the warning was to people, you know, don't be deceived. You know, so now what's the nature of deception? Well, my dad talks to me about this sometimes. He's like, well, the nature of deception is you don't think you're deceived. So you don't think you're deceived. So, but the wonderful thing about being on the side of truth is that if you have been tricked, if you have been deceived, you repent and get on the side of truth. And once you're on that side of truth, you move forward in that truth. So that's why it's amazing to be a child of God, because once you see and know and understand, you repent, you get right, and you move forward with the truth as God's revealed it to you. And it's an incredible place of freedom.
He's taking the fear off of me. Of
you know, there is no fear.
He's taking the fear off of me now. I feel my stomach lightening.
There's not been, for me, in this whole situation, there has not been fear. What there has been is anger and frustration because I see what's happening. And I do believe that's a righteous indignation for the schemes of the devil, that the devil is trying to do these things. And then my prayer is that God would, in Jesus' name, upend all of their things, all of these schemes, all of these plans of the devil, everything that they wanted to do, all of their plans and their plots and their schemes and their machinations and their contrivings and their strategies and all these workings out and throwing all their money at it, that this whole thing will colossally backfire on them in the most incredible way in Jesus' name. And it'll turn around and be used as a tool that God uses to just bring so many people into the light and into the truth and out from bondage and from the power of Satan unto God in Jesus' name. That is my prayer.
He is preaching it. Everybody's preaching today. We got a bunch of preachers here. Amen.
You're on fire today, Govind. You are.
Yes, Lord.
This is God's time. You know, and it's always been God's time, but this is a time where while the enemy is trying to do all this stuff, God is doing what he's doing. And you know, God has quickened me with this again, which was everybody had their idea of who the Savior should be. How you should have this conquering king come in, liberate them from the Roman occupation, do this, do that. But God, in the middle of all of that, I mean, to the point that John the Baptist was wondering, are you really the one? Are you really the one, or should we be looking for somebody else? Even after God had revealed to him that this is the Christ. So everybody had their ideas of who the Savior should be and how he should show up. And God didn't fulfill any of the things, but he did something far better, far exceeding anything that anybody could have ever thought of. And I believe that God continues to do that to this very day. And that's why, too, with everything that's happening, everything that's taking place, watch out. Because with what God does in all of this, it will blow people's minds when they look back and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's what he was doing.
Yes,
so,
I hope so.
I would love to just see all of these things just completely blow up in the enemy's face, you know, and completely just be this colossal failure. And so, and in the middle of this, where they turn around and say, boy, we should have never done that. You know, just like they said, you know, we should have never crucified Jesus. You know, they wish they never did that. You know, and I look forward to that. I look forward
they're
to
gonna
that.
They're going
to
wish.
They're going to wish beginning today, beginning now,
they're going to wish that they never, ever, ever did this because it caused so many people to wake up, they could never get away with it again.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Jesus. Something like that?
So much truth is coming out.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Well, we're just... I guess when times get tough, things get wild around here.
we love you, Lord.
Yeah, okay. I had a vision, just continuing with my thing on church. I had a vision that we rented a place to have a service. And the whole panel came down, and all you guys were like, going to be preaching. And the place was just filled to the brim with people, and they're all interacting with the people who were coming up and down with the pulpit and saying a few words. It wasn't a funeral, I don't think. It was, like eulogies. It was more like just a rousing, rollicking service, loud. You know, microphone up on the stage, and, you know, band in the back, and the whole bit. And people were just, like, praising the Lord and going crazy. With enthusiasm, with wild enthusiasm, just open, you know, dropping all the facades, dropping all the pretense, dropping all the fakery, you know, and just really just throwing themselves into it, with each other, as Patrick was envisioning, you know, as getting together and praying. And I just had this vision, Patrick, I wanted to share with you, that maybe one day there will be a actual church possibility that doesn't have the minders there. Maybe there will be. You know, I got a glimpse of it. It would. I'll tell you one thing.
Would love that.
It would be so fun, you wouldn't even believe it. Because it'd be like beyond any rock concert you've ever been to, beyond any, you know, selfish pleasure you've ever indulged in. It'd be like totally losing yourself in the spirit and just getting completely absorbed in God with all these people on the same page as you and just knowing, just you're beyond hope. It's like hope, you know, success, the Lord, 100% righteous, healing, everything, old and young, new and old, all kinds of people in between. Getting caught up in the spirit and just praising the Lord and, you know, and manifesting the gifts of the spirit and the gifts of God, to prophesy, tongues, healings, teachings, just going off, you know, just everything just exploding with, because there's nothing I'd rather talk about than, you know, Bible prophecy, what's going to happen, what God's up to, things like that. I love those topics. And, you know, I the other topics just aren't as good. What man is up to, what man is thinking, that's okay. But what God's doing is way more interesting. So, you know, one day it'll happen. One day that'll happen. One day we'll, you know, we'll be able to do something like that. It may be illegal to rent a place and just all gather there. Maybe it's illegal. Maybe each of us will rent a place where we are just for. I know there's some people I know in town and in my town that are doing that, and they kind of like, you know, it's like kind of like prayer on the run. You know, they get together, you know, they rent a place and they have like a Saturday prayer.
Isn't it an abandoned restaurant or something? That
I don't know what they're in now. Yeah, but I mean, they have they were doing a lot of prayer for us when I lost my daughter. You know, they did a lot of intercession.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, everybody. Well,
wow, what a blessing.
Oh, I have one more announcement.
Let's go.
I just shared a link to the Little Treasure Orphanage on my Facebook wall, and I know this coming week I'm going to have a lot of birthday wishes and and any of the listeners that are tuning into the show that follow my Facebook wall, If you want to wish me a happy birthday and donate to the Little Treasure Orphanage, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You guys, you have a direct line to actually pulling people literally from death to life right off the street, right? You know, hand them out. You know, every donation goes right into a child's mouth.
Yeah.
In the way of nourishment, I mean, and prayer, and guidance, and the gospel, all of it, you know, in one go. And so that's why that's why John and Violet are here all the way from way across the world there, because, you know, this has been a lifeline for them too, and we're all brothers and sisters, you know, we're all equal in the Lord, you know, and so it's our job to really get the word out. We haven't really pushed people that much, you know, leading up to this, you know, to donate to here or there, or where, because you all, you know, have your own causes and charities and people you take care of. But the reason for this is because the need is so dire, because people are literally dying by the bushel, you know, just dying, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds are
committing
dying.
Committing suicide.
We wouldn't put it out there
hunger.
This constantly unless the need was so dire that just a little bit of money to them. Literally, you would literally, you know, if you ever worry about where your money goes, it would literally go into a child's mouth, a child's belly for nourishment. You literally pulling people from death, literally, that day that you give, that day, it goes into their, to feeding them. So, you know, that's the ministry of John and Violet has morphed from, you know, taking care of the kids and orphanage to now feeding the multitudes. They are feeding the mother. They are like a ministry of Jesus of the old days. You know, it's I'm sure there are others out there worthy, all kinds of things that are worthy, but these are people that are on the streets. They're on the job. God has put them there. They did the orphanage. Then they were led to start feeding people. I remember when that day happened, when they started feeding more and more people. Then all of a sudden it turned into this. And now that new ministry of feeding people has become a lifeline. So that's why the need is just so dire. You know, so whatever you guys can, every little bit helps. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like a big donor or something. And every little bit, you know, $5 saves a kid. You know what I mean? It's so it's you're
very important.
Yeah, and all they need is nourishment, and they just, it, you know, there they just don't have any backup. We're their backup, pretty much. So you know, please do what you can do. It's easy to PayPal. You just need an email, sign up over at PayPal, and you can go to their website, little-treasure-orphanage.com. And there's a donate button there. It goes to PayPal. And if you have a PayPal account or you can sign up with PayPal, then you're allowed to send them, you know, no amount is too small. And you just instantly give it to them, and it goes right into their, it goes right into feeding children, right into feeding adults and children, anyone who's hungry, right away. And like I like to say, that day, it's in the queue that day to get distributed. So. And I can't speak highly enough about their, you know, how dedicated these, you know, pure-hearted, wonderful people have been throughout, you know, the whole time we've known them. And everything has been, everything they said they're going to do, they've done. Everything that they have done is you know, and all the testimonies they have are all 1,000% true. It's literally going on the ground. They share pictures on Facebook and, you know, share testimony on Facebook of all the people that, and the needs and, you know, these are just two people that were answered a call of the Lord, and now look what the Lord has them doing. This is quite a interesting. You might call all of us to do something like this, you know. And who knows? But God's intent on feeding children, and God loves children. Doesn't matter where they come from on the earth. Oh, you know, they're human beings. He loves them. He wants to save them. All right, that's the end of
God
my preaching.
God bless you all.
God
Thank
bless
you
all.
For
God bless.
God bless you all.
All your prayers, and we just are really excited about what's coming forward.
Okay, everybody. We'll see you online, people, and then we're going to go ahead and hang up now.
God bless you.
God bless. Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for your prayers, LTO, and every people.
Our food drive. Thank you.
And. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Praise God.
God bless you.
God bless you guys. All right, here we
Thank
go.
Thank you, Brian.
All right.
For following God's instructions.
Amen, Charles. Amen. Okay, everybody, we'll see you later. You guys, I'm going to hang up because I'm on a weird thing here, so I got to hang up. So goodbye to you, panel.
And thank you for all the listeners who are praying, too.
Yeah, they're not there anymore. They're gone, and... And I'm not going to hog the mic. 2 hours and 42 minutes and 17 seconds right now.
Wow.
Can you believe that? That seemed like 20 minutes to me.
Wow.
And I had to slow myself down. I realized I was going to talk for an hour if I didn't stop myself. And I know that, you know, I'm being repetitive too, so I've already prayed those things in my prayer. I'm just repeating them again and again because... You know, it's you got to realize, you know, this idea. Look at these people praying on, they got a tractor up there and they're praying. So, here's the thing. Prayer is about the only thing that's going to turn this thing on. There's no way we can fight it politically. I mean, you know, we know that, but we've always known that. We know that Trump is not, you know, the end all and be all on everything he does. But we also know that had Hillary been in there, had anybody else been in there, we'd be dead by now. So God interceded by bringing us Trump. And people that say that's not true, they're wrong. They're just wrong. And it's okay. I love them still. But, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you guys. You have your own opinion. I've kept my same opinion the whole time. I don't like some things. I like others. I look at Trump as I do not see Trump as the cause of all discontent, as some people do. People saw Obama that way. That was not true either. People saw Bush that way. That's not true either. People saw... that's the... Hey.
Gotcha.
People saw... Every president. They
are
saw
people still there?
No, but they are. We are still streaming. People saw Clinton that way. I remember very distinctly that he was the Antichrist. People saw Reagan as the Antichrist. And they did his name Ronald Wilson Reagan 666. Remember that? You guys don't remember that. Reagan was the Antichrist. Clinton's the Antichrist. Bush, H.W. Bush was the Antichrist. He had Reagan, you know, had Hinckley try to get Reagan. Then he became president. Then he was gone after one term. Then we got Clinton. Then Clinton pulled a bunch of, you know, stuff. And then we got Obama. I mean, we got Bush. And then we got Obama. And Obama, Bush was worse than Obama in my view. But both had the same New World Order plan. They're both the same. And then, you know, and then we got Trump. And all of a sudden, Trump's the bad guy. Out of all these guys who are bad, each one was the Antichrist in their time, pretty much. Now it's all Trump. And that tendency to do that, why can't you just take the good with the bad and say, okay, this is what we've got. This guy's trying to fight back against a lot of this stuff, against the New World Order, against global governance. His main one place we intersect together is neither one of us likes communism or socialism. We both want, right, and want the idea of America not being a socialist country. Well, we are pretty much turning into that, and turning into that while he's been president, because he doesn't have the power you guys think he does. You guys who think he's bad think he has all this power that he doesn't have. That's your big mistake. You think, oh, he's so powerful, he's brought all this about. No, he hasn't brought all this about. If he had the power, he would have blocked some of it. But I think what you're discovering is that he doesn't have the power that you thought the presidency had power.
He's still doing a good job standing up to him. Well, look what he did yesterday with the WHO.
Hydroxychloroquine is another great idea.
Yeah.
And that does, I have some quinine sulfate. I've got, you know, some things, and I believe that you can take a small amount of it, not a full dose, but maybe every couple of days, find out what his protocol is. As a prophylactic, it prevents getting the COVID. He's right to be taking it because people around him have been poisoned. I believe it was done on purpose, by the way. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I am just a realist, and I also have a prophetic bent here. So when that prophetic spidey sense goes off, I believe that's God informing me that somebody's trying to someone's trying to ice the president. The president needs prayer because they're trying to kill him now. The next step
we
is
ask
to kill
the Lord
him.
That you protect
I don't
Trump.
Expect you people that think you're godly that hate the guy. I don't expect you to pray.
Who are you talking to then?
There's a bunch of people that they're either, I don't know where they came from, but they hate the you know.
I mean, we aren't live, right?
We're live. Yeah. I should get off the air. I'm just trying to tell people that, you know, it's a mixed bag. You know, the guy, you know, I think a lot of people see him do a few things and he says, I'm going to get the military with the vaccines. We're live. Yes, you're live.
Oh. Where's everybody else?
They were dismissed.
Oh. Now, pray for President Trump for strength and protection, yeah. Guidance.
And the thing is, you know, no, I don't like the censorship, 5G, a lot of things. You know, I don't like vaccines. I don't like, you know.
Oh, I can't believe how much 5G there is down here in Houston. It's every block.
Well, we are under 5G right now.
I know.
Look, I don't like all this, you know, a lot of things, and there are some things I like and some things I don't. Just like every president, every administration, the administration doesn't have the power you think it does. It sets the tone, and that's about it. The Congress actually has more power than the president at this point, as we've seen. That take issue with them, then. Take issue with, you know, people like Pelosi if you don't like it. You know, these people like Pelosi, they know exactly what's going on. That's why they're keeping California locked down to the point where it's going to kill people. Why? Because they don't care about life, anyone's. They don't care about their own lives. They all they want is power. They don't care how many people die. You're starting to figure that out there. You're starting to figure out they don't care. They just as soon kill you right now. They hate you. They hate you who are informed. They hate you who are awake. They don't want you to see that they're psychopaths killing people in California and New York. You know, and whoever is extending the lockdown, New Mexico, same thing, because she wants to be vice president, so she keeps it locked down. She's doing what her masters tell her to do. People in New Mexico are dying. I have news for you. It's not being reported because the press, all of them, are sellouts. All. All of them gave their lives to Lucifer, you know, in a formal ceremony. That's right. That formal ceremony has been available for the entire time the United States has been here. Before they went to college, they probably gave their hearts and souls to the devil. That's fine. Everybody gets that deal. Everyone gets to make that choice. But I know that you can't work for the media unless you love, you know, maybe there's a few people that have snuck through. But in general, you got to be able, you know, to lie the way they tell you to lie. And right now, the lie is the pandemic and all the things associated with it and all the things that happened, so that we won't know the truth, that this is done to us by the people we've trusted. All right, that's it for me. No more of this. I just ranted today, man. I can't believe it's just going on 3 hours. I just feel like I'm going to go run 10 miles now. I'm hyped up, man. I'm hyped up. I'm ready. Okay. And with that, bye.
God bless.